are you people? This is Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasio. It's up for another day. Broadcast insolence.
Just a few minutes ago, you were saying, Ro, that you felt like we can't get along. We can't see each other's viewpoints. We stay on our little tribal islands. Mm-hmm. There's a little glimmer of hope today. Did you see the Dr. David Dow, the one who was brutally dragged off that United Airlines flight? He says he doesn't blame United. He doesn't blame the aviation police. They all had a job to do, and he forgives them. And you remember that video.
Does he?
He got a concussion, a broken nose, chipped teeth.
He got a settlement, too, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he didn't mention that part. He didn't mention how much the undisclosed settlement was with United Airlines.
He gets to forgive them now. Yes. Dr. Dow.
Dr. Dow.
Yeah.
Poor Dr. Dow.
I'll never forget this scream.
Poor guy.
It's blood curdling. He was being dragged off the. But of course, and that was, you know, it was one of those situations where the aviation police, you know, who, well, it's a little different out there. The aviation police. See, guys, these are people they did not want to have the ability to carry a gun, right?
True.
When they got hired, they were like, I don't think you're going to get a gun.
The training seemed questionable, too.
Yeah.
And nobody really knew what they were supposed to be doing. Like, what they were allowed to. They got really into it.
Yeah.
But then they weren't really supposed to be all that into it.
All right.
Tough guy.
All right.
Dr. Schmuck.
You're going to have to get up. I'm wearing a uniform. I'm wearing a onesie. You're going to have to get up.
Uh-huh. Flight's oversold.
Yeah.
They remember, that was the reason.
The broad up front said, you got to get up. Get up.
Once again, going back to Kentucky. That's where he's from.
Oh. Yes. It's true.
We can't blame him, though. Poor guy.
Well, we can.
No, I know he's got this background or whatever you didn't like.
No, but he was supposed to get up. He was the one that had to get up. But when you have to get up, you got to get up. You know, when you're on the airplane, you've given up all your constitutional rights on an airplane.
Apparently, yeah.
That's really true.
Apparently so.
You have. You get on a plane, and it's sort of like, there are no rules. I mean, it's like international territory. You're up in the air.
Yeah, it's like a prison.
Right, it is. And if they tell you
to do as you're told.
Right, they tell you to do something, and you don't do it, it's like 5 years in the joint.
That's right.
It's like, they're not playing.
If they tell you they're going to put your dog up in the overhead, then it goes there even if it dies. That's what you do.
Right, or down below.
It dies. Rules are rules,
that's
buddy.
The way it goes. Sorry.
Yeah. They have ultimate authority. The flight crew has ultimate authority over you.
Because they're there for your safety.
If you are a you're not the boss of me kind of person.
You got no shot.
Like the president. That's why he has his own plane. Because, you know, not going to put up with that.
Can you imagine him flying coach on United?
That was over. I mean, that was over. The last time he flew a plane was when he tried to feel up the woman in first class. Remember that story? And that was it. I'm sorry, Mr. Trump. You're not allowed to touch her there. All right, that's it. What? I quit buying my own plane. I own you. One day, I'll be president of the United States. And they all laughed.
You've been drinking, sir?
Anyway.
Cut him off.
Right. So ultimately, when you got on an airplane, please do not. Do not try to. Don't give any lip.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Right. Yes, it's yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am.
Even if it seems totally and completely unreasonable.
Right.
Absolutely, you have no rights. Do not say a word.
You need to put your whatever animal that you bring on board.
Your therapy parrot.
You need to put your therapy parrot in a plastic bag and put it in the overhead right now.
Oh. Bird's going up top.
Oh, uh-oh.
Oh, gosh.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Not the plastic.
Oh, they did have that one dog die because they told him they needed to put that dog.
Yeah, poor French bulldog.
Remember,
bulldogs
that's
can't
sweet.
Can't even breathe to begin with.
Right,
dog,
yes, yeah.
He had respiratory Where'd issues to begin it? With I'm in the overhead,
overhead
in his little bag.
Who would think that's a good idea?
Nobody.
Well, that's once they tell you, you got to do it. Otherwise, when you land, it's like the FBI, it's like a SWAT team comes on board and they come running down the aisle. Like it's a full hijacking.
Somebody tases you.
I wish they had that response for people who take their shoes off. Why can they not start telling
That should be a criminal offense.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Especially when they don't have socks on. It's like, oh, dear God.
Or they start doing the clipping.
The plane.
The clipping. That's happened.
God.
Longer flights, you do see that. You hear it. It's even worse.
I actually made Kevin do my toenails. On the flight.
While you were watching A Star Is Born?
Coming back from, from Phoenix.
You were eating ice cream, doing each other's hair, and crying through A Star Is Born.
Drinking Cosmos.
I just got a little emotional during this scene.
Do you mind? Would you mind? Would you mind giving me a pedicure while we're doing this?
You hear, ding, the Kleenex. Ding, ding. And Sam, please, these two, I can't sit behind them anymore.
That, I'll tell you, that is the worst, though. Yeah, when people do their nails, like women do their nails on a plane, that it drives me nuts.
When people bring food onto the plane.
That's
like
true,
like a bag of McDonald's, it just doesn't smell right on the plane.
Right.
It mixes with all the weird odors.
Yes, it smells like someone just threw it back up.
Right.
It's every food that you bring on the plane, other than the food that they're serving you, which we know somebody already threw up. That was the, you know, that's the thing.
Why is that? That's so true. It's just,
it's the hot,
it can
like
even
the hot
be a salad.
Food doesn't, it just doesn't mix well.
Right.
Planes already have kind of a weird stench to them anyway.
Well, because think of the smell of fear and the smell of
body
vomit
odor.
And body odor and feet.
Ugh. Feet? Oh.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm just thinking about it all. Terrible.
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
312, I was a flight attendant for American for 9 years. I had to stop myself from getting drunk on the power. LOL.
That's really true, though. All right, that's it. You know, they know how to use their voice, too, when they're doing it.
You're not going to believe the passenger in the fourth row. Total jerk.
And you get labeled, too. There's some certain passengers that you, the whole flight crew knows. Like,
sit back down!
Get that one.
Sit back down!
Someone who gave me trouble, that Dr. Dow.
You can always tell, like, the sort of day the flight attendant's having. They've had to deal with pain-in-the-ass passengers all day. Because some of them are fun. Some of them are ordering drinks, and they're like, a Jack and Coke, and it's 99% Jack Daniels. Like, let's have fun.
Right. Yes,
and then the
true.
Next one, they're like, they completely avoid. You're like, I don't need another drink.
You're not getting another drink.
Right.
You're not even going to get nuts.
You ask for an extra pretzels. Nope, one only.
Just don't even look at you. They could tell you're a troublemaker. They're like, nah, I'm not dealing with this jerk today.
Yeah, no, I know. That's generally me that they're doing that to.
Anyway, I'm happy Dr. Dow is a very forgiving individual.
He's still screaming just at everything in life?
He said it.
No! Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
no. This is wrong. Oh, my God. Look at what you did to him.
He wouldn't get off the plane. Hey, you already have a seat. If you were the one who was getting his seat, you'd be happy they were dragging him off
no,
the plane.
No, you wouldn't. That was horrifying. He said he couldn't even watch the video. He knew that there was one, and it took him a while. And then months later, or some long period of time later, he watched it, and he says he cried.
So much funnier as time has passed, listening back.
Yeah, right. Tragedy plus time is comedy.
Yeah. He looks good. He looks
he's
good now.
Fine.
Yeah, it's all right. It's fine.
He's healed well.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's got the teeth. He's got some surgery,
money
it looks like.
You, yeah, money allows you to really fix yourself up.
Yeah,
it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine the passenger who took his seat, which is that guilty look on their face.
Okay. Like, sitting back into the seat. Like,
it was Lori Loughlin.
Excuse me. Well, not excuse me. I'm working my way back at this. I think that's my seat right there. But I'm going to have to step. Can I step over you? I've got to
go. Sir, you forgot your phone?
Seat. Oh.
You can hand him his phone.
He doesn't deserve his phone. He wouldn't get up. Don't
Everyone's
you dare give him the
staring
phone.
At her.
What is
not
this?
Only are we taking your seat, we're taking your phone. Get
all your belongings. You can take your broken nose and your cracked teeth.
Here we go. Here we go. I'm going to tell you right now, you're leaving this plane one way or the other. If I have to drag you out of this plane, you're leaving this plane.
Poor guy.
All right, let's check in. Kim, what's happening at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Roe, the man who claimed to be a missing Aurora boy, back in court today.
Show with Anna DeBlancis right here at 720 WGN. Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN TV newsroom.
I have been on those flights. In fact, I flew back from Las Vegas on Sunday and had a similar experience.
Boy, are your arms tired.
What happened?
Oh, no, I mean, those poor flight attendants, right? That's got to be just the worst flight to staff. The ride home on a Sunday morning from Las Vegas.
Mm, yeah.
True.
Yeah. People have been up all night because if you all sleep on the plane and they're still reeking of alcohol and continuing to drink and they've lost everything. That's the thing.
Some of them, hope, no deodorant.
Right. Lost the will to live. There's a lot of things that are going on there that are not so good.
And all they have are like 12 pretzel sticks.
So you were out like on a boys trip or something,
Yeah, it was
right?
a guys trip. We did some golfing, did some gambling.
Yeah.
Had a nice time.
How'd you do?
I didn't lose all hope. I can tell you that. I mean,
I picture you at the craps table.
You know, I am not smart enough for craps. I'm more of a blackjack guy, and I proved this weekend I'm not even smart enough for that. And I'm certainly not a great golfer. So at this point, it's unclear why I went on this trip. But it was a bunch of guys, and we're sitting around, and we're talking about how all of our wives go on a girls' trip together every year, Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing this for like 6-7 years, and it like took us that long for it to dawn on us that we don't do a guys' trip. So it was just kind of like, well, we should do this. So we went. It was a good time.
Just, you know, to get back at the wives, or was it another?
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Actually, answer her question first, and then I have my own thought. Is that to get
was
back
it to more life? To do that, or did you actually want to hang out together?
No, we all like each other. It's fine.
Uh-huh. I have been.
And I'm not going to answer that.
I have been around Ben's wife and her friends.
Yes,
on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would just like to say that when they leave, international crimes are violated. International norms, laws. I can tell between she and her friends that. That it's like one of those movies where there's a dead male stripper in the
they like the Bad Moms
the
movie
yeah,
was
totally.
Based on Ben's wife.
I will admit
and her
that as much as I like these guys, given the choice, I would much rather go on the girls' trip.
Yeah,
right.
Of course you would. Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course.
All those guys know
they act so innocent when they get back.
Exactly.
Lord knows
nothing happened.
What are you talking about? You don't even really like gambling.
Talked about trouble. New ways to parent.
Why would we go to a strip show? That's
what?
Disgusting.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
So gross.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. You know what? Because on all those girls' trips, at least one of them does something that they shouldn't do.
Well, what inspires the ones who maybe don't necessarily always have it in them to just sort of bring it out, and that's what happens.
I will say that there was one girl who made a one-time, one-year appearance on the trip and was never invited back.
Right.
I have a friend like that. You just know she's trouble.
You
bring
like,
her, and you just know she'll stir it up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were tears. It was not fun.
It's like a reality show when they go.
It was like the Golf Channel
when guys go. It's super boring.
Right. It was like The Bachelor after the final rose.
Yeah.
And all these girls are like, come on. We got kids and husbands at home. This is our getaway time. We don't need to be babysitting.
Right. There's always one dynamic in a group where, I mean, guys are not. I don't know. For some reason, guys like friends, they just...
We don't care.
They don't care. Right. No one can really tick anybody else off. But there's one fight that starts on the plane on the way out that doesn't end until baggage claim at the way home. Between, if they got four or five, six women, whatever it is.
Right.
There's a triangulation that happens. There's two that hate each other the whole time.
It's usually one of bought the same dress as the other one, or the same swimsuit.
Something has happened. Whatever it is.
That's not what it's about.
You're not going to wear that.
No, it's because they slept with each other's husbands. That's why. But the point is that there's some anger thing that goes, am I not right about this?
I think you're closer than Ben is. I don't think women just manufacture these little incidents over shoes or anything.
No. But then there's one that's just really competitive with all the others.
Yes.
Right?
Is there an Anna DeVellante's girls trip? Because that would be fascinating.
Yeah. No, there is one
she's
plan
stumbling.
That had to
she
get
canceled.
No, it
stumbled.
Had to get canceled because two of the people suddenly couldn't make it. But we have a rain check for the fall to go and do it. And there is that one friend, and it's the friend you describe, who is single and is very outgoing, shall we say. And we're trying to decide, is it,
appropriate to bring her?
What are the rules? What are the rules? So,
what are the rules?
Have a few rules.
What would be a violation of the rules?
Well, yeah, that's a great question.
There was a girls' trip in the past.
Uh-huh.
Where, without revealing too much, there was a...
This is on CLTV. No one's watching. Go ahead.
I can't do it.
Apologies. No, come on.
Tell the story. Come on.
There was, we stayed in a fancy suite because there were a bunch of us and we all bunked in, right? So there was a butler who was an extremely attractive male.
Oh boy, I love where this
very
is going.
And this was in Greece. And when you're in Greece, there's different rules for some people. Not every marriage, not every person, but some people feel as if that is the case. And this person was just trying to stir it up to get us all to go out with this individual who was the guy who had friends. And then from there, people ended up on motorcycles, people ended up, with some things that just transpired. And it was just not exactly what
Ro, I think she yada-yada'd the best part of this story.
I kind of did, but you can fill in the blanks, we all know. And I'm on, I just don't want...
So did you leave one of them behind
exactly
in Greece? Right. Did one of them fall in love?
A couple people might have gotten lost that night, that's all.
Oh,
that's
boy.
All. But then you have to decide. You have a new trip, and I mean, did you guys describe rules before you went on your trip?
You sit down with your significant other.
Well, what
your
if
spouse,
it's going too far?
And you go, all right, how many miles away do I have to be?
Well, one guy's wife apparently said to him as he was walking out the door, "Don't die," and he said, "Okay, is that the only rule?"
You know, this is what happens in Hinsdale, right? Is that what goes on? All right.
For the record, that guy was from Orland Park. I would just like the record to reflect.
He's an Orland Parker.
I did once have a woman say to me that she goes, "Well, it's the 300-mile rule." I go, "What's the 300-mile rule?" She goes, "Well, he's 300 miles away from me." It's
yeah, that's what I've yeah. heard these rules before.
And I'm like,
but I'm not sure it's always mutual.
I said, no, he's your husband. That's still
he's still your husband.
It's still a rule.
Yeah, that gets us to like Mount Vernon, Illinois, which I don't know if you've ever been to Mount Vernon, but
I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got a great Applebee's there.
Yeah. So that it's just what it is. I think people have been married long enough. They got the kids. They're screaming and they basically are like, "When are the kids going to college? I will pay one half of $1 million to get our kid into Illinois State. Fear the bird.
Fear the bird.
Go Redbirds.
Just to get them out of the house. I don't care where they go. I'm going to post their head on a crew team member's body and cheat on their SAT so they will get out of my house so that I don't have to listen to the screaming anymore."
Yeah.
Sounds so outrageous.
That's what it is. And that's why the 300-mile rule happens.
Yeah.
Bottom line in Vegas. All right. Well, that was good. What is coming up on the news, Ben?
So today we've got a couple of interesting stories for you. On the north side of the city, a man in his 70s saw a guy trying to break into his house with a crowbar. This guy has a FOID card. He confronted the would-be burglar, shot him, wounded him, and the guy took off. He talks to our Eric Rung, and in that interview, apparently he says, "Well, we don't have a good description of him, but we can tell you he's got a bullet hole in his shoulder." So you'll hear from that guy as he fought off this would-be intruder. I see we're looking at some video on CLTV now about FOID cards, and Tamon Bradley is updating story on some loopholes that local police and others would like closed. And then our Julie Unruh today. You've been covering this story involving Timothy Pitson, who's been missing from Aurora for the last almost 8 years now. He was 6 years old when he went missing, and then there was this awful situation in Ohio where a guy claimed to be Timothy Pitson. DNA quickly, within a day or so, proved he wasn't. Well, our Julie Unruh talked with Timothy Pitson's father today. Imagine what he went through. It's the only local interview that he's doing. And coming up today at 6.
We do have some of the audio of that today.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
And what's going to happen to the guy who is the suspect in that case?
He had a court appearance today, and a judge said, "No, you're not going anywhere." He was charged federally. This is not the first time he's claimed to be a victim of some sort. He's got a criminal history. So he's being held for the time being, awaiting those charges.
But here's a little of what he said.
It was Thursday afternoon. Was really terrible. Well, I got a phone call at 2:30, quarter to 3, with the detective, and he goes, "DNA came back, it's not Timothy." So everything, and then it was like, it was all stress, and then like some of the stress went away, and then got a little upset because I don't understand why somebody would want to say he's not who he is, and they take the DNA, and yeah, you're busted, so.
Incredibly calm and collected. He says this is not the first time that his hopes have been raised that his son may have been found. He did not go to Ohio. He did not rush out there. He said he was, you know, trying to take a deep breath, wait for law enforcement to do its work. If there is some sort of good to come from this, Timothy Pitson's father says he hopes that this will cause the media to show those age-progressed photos of his son, cause you know, more people to get a look at him and think about whether or not they've seen him.
Gosh, you hope so.
I think there's anything positive out of this, it's that.
Yeah.
That's back on people's radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our Julie Unruh has a preview of that story tonight at 6 and then the full story tonight on the WGN News at 10.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. All right. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's in the WGN Newsroom.
DeBlantis right here on CLTV and WGN everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And we thank him for that.
We do.
As we thank all of our guests who appear at any time on this program for any reason. Because we know we're taking time out of their day.
I mean,
to help them grow their careers. All right, let's talk about can we talk about the southern border first? Because that obviously is, you know, the height of the food chain here in terms of what's going on in Washington. The president is overhauling Homeland Security. Kristen Nielsen is out. Your reaction to that, Congressman?
I don't know what to make of it. I mean, quite honestly, I don't know if it's personal beef or whatever. I'm not sure what the restructuring is. I just hear what people are kind of surmising. You know, there's some people that surmise it's a takeover by Stephen Miller. I hope that's not the case. And
why do you hope that's not the case?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his. I mean, he's just somebody that's kind of against immigration, period. And I'm a big supporter of immigration. I just think it needs to be legal. And so we'll see. I just don't know what to make of it, but... You know, bottom line is there is a problem on the border. And, you know, what we've got to do, and I've been saying this from the beginning, is get past, you know, our talking points. My side needs to, the other side needs to, and figure out ways to fix it. And I actually think it's easy to fix, but, you know, we've got to be able to give the other side a win.
Attorney General William Barr, you saw him testifying today, saying that we'll see the Mueller report within the week. There will be redactions. He's going to color code the redactions to let us know why, what categories they are. So it felt very interesting. He's going to do that. Are you satisfied with his answers?
It'll depend. I'm satisfied with the answers. It'll depend on what the report looks like. You know, part of the issue, and I think the Democrats are trying to set, some of the Democrats are trying to set this up, that no matter what he does, they're going to say that it's not enough. So, you know, we all know you cannot release grand jury testimony. That's like the heart and soul of the federal grand jury is grand jury secrecy. So, you know, the idea that you're going to release transcripts and names and everything from a grand jury, you can't do that. So I think it'll depend on what the report looks like. If there's legitimate redactions to protect people that testified, national security, et cetera, people should be satisfied with what that is, you know. But I certainly hope we're just not going to play the game of no matter what is put out, it's not enough, because so many people have invested a lot in the narrative.
Okay, so the problem is the differential between what William Barr's letter was, a four-page letter that was basically a distillation of what his opinions were about the report, versus what now some of the Mueller investigators came out and wrote in their open letter, saying that that they wouldn't agree with this, with Mueller, with the Barr's version of events based on his four-page letter. And then now you also have Barr testifying today that Mueller would not review Barr's letter before he put it out. So Mueller didn't want to see Barr's review of Mueller's report, because at that point it would, if he had looked at it, Barr didn't say this, but the reality is that if he had looked at it, if Mueller had looked at Barr's review and said, there's nothing I can do about this or you're wrong, what is the further recourse on that? There isn't one yet.
Right.
So when this thing comes out, we'll take a look at the redactions. The Mueller people will know what the redactions are, obviously, and they will know, you know, what is appropriate. And to your point, yes, grand jury, absolutely. But that doesn't mean that you can't have conclusions. And you can't have other evidence that you can protect the secrecy of the people who are testifying in the grand jury. But you do have to explain how, like they do in an indictment, right? So grand jury indicts. Grand jury doesn't just indict and go, we're indicting. They give their reasons for the indictment. There are reasons for the indictment. That's going to be that. Can now there were no indictments that came from this other than the ones that we already saw that were outside referred, right? That went in other ways, whether it was Manafort. A lot of these things came from the Mueller team and they were handed off. So the question, and Mueller actually handled some of the Mueller team handled some of the stuff with Manafort. We'll see what that was all about. Question is, at the end of the day, does anybody think that there is not that the assertion by the Attorney General that there was no collusion, no evidence of any collusion, which
which, by the way, would be no evidence of the president conspiring to defraud the United States. But was there other stuff going on there? Were there other people around the president, including family members, that didn't end up rising to a criminal level, but certainly in a dumbass level? And that's a technical legal term.
Because
that meeting, all those other things, we know what happened. It's not like we're making this stuff up. So, I mean, is there any fallout for that? Because I cannot imagine the Republicans would be happy with you know, Barack Obama with Malia and Sasha meeting with some Iranian somewhere. I mean, my guess is that that's probably all. This whole thing is bad, and there's not enough of an amount of contrition about that by the Trump folks.
Well, and this is, again, we're going to know in a week, right? Obviously, I'm not trying to push it off, but we're going to know in a week when we see the report what it says, at least most of it, without the redactions, and we can make an assessment then. My thing is this, and I've said this from the very beginning. If it comes out and it shows that there was collusion, we need to handle accordingly. But we also need the Democrats to say, if you read the full report and it says there is no collusion, they have to accept that, too. And that's my concern right now is, yes, we can be concerned, you know, will Republicans not accept it if there is? But the only information I have to go on is the fact that I haven't seen proof of collusion, and I've also seen the attorney general, who had to have known that the Mueller report's going to become public, come out and say there's no collusion. Now, the question of obstruction of justice, you know, we'll see more details on that. But ultimately, it's obstructing justice of a crime that didn't exist. So that's where it's going to be a value judgment. But I think both sides have to say, if we're going to put the full Mueller report out, we need to understand, we need to accept the results of that and not just look at it from the lens of politics like we always do.
Okay.
One other question that the William Barr would not answer today, and it was asked repeatedly, and I want to ask you if you think this is important. He wouldn't respond about whether or not he had shared it with President Trump prior to putting it out or at any point. The four-page memo that's been released so far.
I don't think that's a big scandal. I think, you know, frankly, if he did, he has a right to, because he does work for the president. And
why does he just say it then?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he did or didn't. And maybe he's trying to protect any future questions of conversations about what did you talk to the president about or what didn't you, not even related to this, but anything else. Regardless, I don't think that's a huge deal. I think we're going to know a lot more in a week. And, look, if they were sitting around saying we're never going to release the Mueller report, that's one thing. We see it coming out. It's coming out in a week, maybe 2 weeks if something gets delayed, and I think we can make a value judgment after that.
All right, we're going to put that on the shelf for the moment.
It's off the table.
Let's go back to the border for a second here. Family separation. The president today, in his spray, was sitting with the Egyptian president, and they were asking questions of the president about basically about the border crisis. He says he's not going to do family separations anymore, but then said in the same breath, he said, but Obama did this and it worked. And when I stopped it, the border, none of this was true, but that as soon as I stopped the family separations, people started rushing across again. And none of that is accurate, but he's trying to have it both ways. Is he not?
Yeah, I do think there is some truth to numbers that when the family separation was happening, we actually did see a decrease in people coming to the border. That's true. Now, I don't know if the opposite, the invert, happened.
Well, actually, they don't.
The surge.
Can I just clarify something?
Yeah.
That there have been people from DHS today who have said that this didn't happen long enough, because it was, remember, it was 6 weeks total for them to actually be able to do any kind of statistical analysis about whether
That's
there funny. Was an increase or decrease.
That's fine. And I'll say this on family separations. I don't like it, but there is that we do need then an answer to the question of this. If some guy shows up with a kid and doesn't have ID on him, how do we handle that?
Well,
how do
well,
we
that's, ensure that's that, where,
that guy...
Right. Fine. And that's where the Obama people were. That's when, you know, you saw the pictures of the kids in the cages that the president accurately today said, well, that was Obama. That's true. That was not that was during the Obama administration that they built those facilities to hold those families because those kids because they were coming across without a response, you know, adult that was tied to them. Right. Mm-hmm. So that became a separate issue. And that, yes, we get all of that. But We're not talking about that. We're talking about actual parents who are coming across, and you're going to put the parents into a prosecutorial system and you're taking the kids away because they can't be in the same facilities with the adult facilities with these kids. So that's the question.
Again, I get the heartstrings part of that, and I have come out and said we need to stop that practice. However, keep in mind, anytime a parent is arrested in the justice system here, their children are separated from them. When you break the law, when you come to the United States illegally and you are detained, you will be, I mean, in any other crime in this country, if you're arrested, you will be separated from your children. So I get it. I get the heartstrings part of it, and it's important we fix it. But let's not act like this is the United States being the Gestapo, because it isn't. This is just how the justice system works. When parents are arrested, their kids are not kept with them in that detention.
Should the United States offer any kind of sanctuary for people who are trying to flee their countries because of the fear of violence or oppression or any of those kinds of things? Should we be in that business?
We should, but we also need to make sure that our asylum laws aren't abused. So we need to maintain, you know, our asylum stance, but also make sure that people are not abusing it, which there is abuse happening right now. We can't be a country that just says anybody that wants to leave their current situation can come here. You know, we have to be generous on immigration. I'm all for generosity, but it has to be done legally. And so we need to have asylum, but we need to make sure it's not abused. I don't know what the tweaks are going to be to fix that, but there have got to be tweaks.
Is the country full?
No, I know. We have a lot of space. we got space, but we can do it. We got to do it the legal way.
Thank you, Congressman. I get it. I just want to know. The president said the country was full, and which, by the way, is a line from The Simpsons in the year 2000.
Oh, boy.
Also a line from Back Christmas Vacation.
Everybody's talking over Bart Simpson. All right. Congressman, thank you.
Thanks, Congressman.
Appreciate it. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, there he goes. Play that one more time, please.
Let's hear it.
Hey, immigrants! Beat it! Country's full!
Back into the hold. We'll try Canada.
That was predicts everything.
That was on their trip to New York. And they're at the Statue of Liberty, and Bart is reading the inscription at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, now Republican leadership is saying, that's a poem. That was not law, which is true. It is not law. It is a poem, but it's the ethos of the United States of America. That's how Stephen Miller and his family got here, right? I mean, that's almost all of us got here. They're the only people who didn't get here this way were African-Americans who were brought here to be sold, and Native Americans who were born here after they walked across the Bering Land Bridge tens of thousands of years ago. Their progenitors did. So this whole idea that we're not a nation of immigrants and that we're not a nation that's welcoming of people who are trying to flee oppression, and that creates this melting pot and makes us better. Those people are full of crap who are saying that that's not what the ethos of the United States is. So that's where Bart Simpson, one more time, this is why this was so funny when it was in The Simpsons.
Hey, immigrants, beat it. Country's full.
Back into the hold.
Now, that was Bart Simpson. This is the president of the United States.
The system is full. Can't take you anymore. Whether it's asylum, whether it's anything you want, it's illegal immigration. Can't take you anymore. We can't take you. Our country is full. Our area is full. The sector is full. Can't take you anymore. I'm sorry. Can't happen. So turn around. That's the way it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Art imitating life.
Yes, exactly. Art predicting life.
Art predicting life in the case of The Simpsons.
Really kind of what happened there. And people go, well, he's talking about illegal immigration. No, he's talking about asylum, which is not illegal immigration. But he's also talking about, but they're also talking about migrants, right? That's what Stephen Miller is talking about. He doesn't want anybody coming in. And he wants to do away with chain migration. Just in time for him to get his own in-laws in on chain migration. The president wants to do away with chain migration. They will be the last people to get in on chain migration. Closing the door. That's it. Sorry, Slovenia. Unless you're a super, super, super hot model, country's full. Kim, what's going on at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Israel's election too close to call.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. When we're on 720 WGN today, we're on the World Wide Web at WGNradio.com.
We're streaming.
And at the, and you know, all the WGN Radio on TuneIn, WGN Radio on iHeart, all the different places. You can ask the Alexa to find us.
Sure.
All of that. But the, I'm going to guess, Kev, you might want to help me do the baseball math here. Somewhere around 4:45, 5 o'clock, we'll be returning regular programming here.
Yeah. In the top of the eighth right now.
Yes, top of the eighth, couple out. And, it's, you know, days like this, I'd like to, there's not a lot of people at the ballpark today.
No.
It's a nice day.
Yeah. And, it's a Tuesday afternoon. I get it early in the season.
True.
It's not the Yankees that are in town either. They're doing a lot. I don't know why they're. Why do they play so many day games this time of year? I wonder.
There's a lot to start the season. I'm guessing maybe the weather. I don't know. Maybe they figured it's colder at night, tougher conditions.
I'd like to talk to some management about that. But I will say that one of the things that I find most interesting here is that guys are coming in, especially in longer games like this, where the outcome seems, rather set. It's 8-2 right now. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that even while I'm saying this, the Tampa Rays are scoring. While I'm telling this story.
Oh gosh, oh gee, close your eyes.
You know, I wonder. I stop and I think to myself, what would I do if I were a pitcher that's already on the team? Am I going to really hold a guy on first base when I'm down by 7 runs, 6 runs? Am I really going to do that? Or am I just going to try to get out of the inning? And right as that happened, a pass ball went right through. And just as I was saying that, a wild pitch. And the guy that we're trying to hold on first is now on third. So maybe I've answered my own question. I don't know.
Rough day for the pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's, again, to Anna's point, it's a beautiful day.
It is.
Yeah.
Imagine what Wrigley looks like on a night day like this. That's all I was thinking.
A little different, maybe.
A little different scene.
Yeah, exactly.
But they'll get there.
Right. That's where the see a lot of women in short shorts with a lot of filler in their face who are looking for a husband. That's what, and traders who were sitting in the first 10 rows.
The fancy seats,
somewhere near a Ricketts. There's a Ricketts every five aisles over. There's a Ricketts.
Right, there's that section. You see a number of Ricketts.
Or a pole in your way if you're higher up.
Yes, or a pole in your way. That's true.
I don't know if you call it a pole. It's like a pillar.
Yeah.
A crumbling pillar?
Yes. Well, no, they're metal. It's painted metal. Sometimes they're rusting up a little bit. They just redid them, though. They just repainted the pillars. Oh. So there's good news there. But, yeah, sometimes you get a pillar. But in the lower bowl at Wrigley at a moment like this, you got traders who are betting on every pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You got some lawyers who got out of court earlier, judges canceled their court calls for the day. And then an assortment of Gold Coast and Lincoln Park Trixies that are there with gigantic aviators on. a drink, totally dressed to the nines with whatever it is that they're wearing, high heels and a Cubs jersey.
Yeah.
Sort of walking the concourse. They don't really have seats. They just walk the concourse. And again, not around. You walk the concourse like a pinball machine. You go from left field. And then you go around behind home plate. That's where the good fishing is, by the way, for the guys. And then back over to the right field. And then you hit the wall there. And then you bounce back going the other way.
You seem to know this, bro.
I've seen this. You can watch them. When you sit there, you can watch them moving. It's really kind of it's an interesting thing to watch.
Best place to find the guys would be in the bathroom line.
And they do that, too.
I would think. If they want a beer, long and they got nowhere to go.
Or they want to get a beer, or they want to get a drink from Captain Morgan. That's the better thing to do. Because I really don't like beer, so I'd much rather have a martini. Or a
romance.
Yeah.
I know. It's such a pretty picture he paints of just love in the air.
Yeah.
Just frozen, pure romance.
Frozen slushy drink. Then they go, well, let's go out to Captain Morgan. Hey, I'm watching the game.
Hey, people have met their husbands and wives there.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And they've also met their ex-husbands and wives
there. And people, right, they never want to see again.
So there you go. There you have it.
Gotta love the Wrigley crowd.
All right. Well, that's thank you, CLTV, for joining us for that.
Very educational. Really.
All right, tell me you haven't seen exactly what I just described.
I've seen a number of things that might coincide with what you just described.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And now they got all these clubs at Wrigley. They got all these...
There's like 100 clubs.
So many scenes.
Yeah, but yet now you have to be a member of all those clubs, right? You can't just go in.
Yeah, it's all like exclusive membership. Got to pay a ton of money. There's one right behind home plate. Now there's two new ones down the first and third baseline under the seats.
Yeah.
And then they've also replaced the concessions that are under that were under the press box in the upper level. They've blocked all that off. It's a new club there. So now if you want to go from one end of the upper deck to the other, you've got to go around this sort of bridge type thing that used to be the Jim Beam Club right behind home plate on the upper level. I don't know if you guys were up there. It's really cool that yes, you're welcome, Jim Beam. So now there's like kind of a walkway. It's really weird, but they're finding ways to get clubs in there. Obviously, that's where the dough is at.
Cost of going to a game now, $1,000 per person, I heard.
It's about right. At Wrigley.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it sometimes.
I mean, if you want to sit in the down between the bases, essentially, in the lower bowl, it's going to cost you about, for a family, well, who's going as a family?
Yeah, you don't see a lot of kids for those prices.
Right. Kids, there's nothing but kids right now. They're being breastfed at U.S. or at Guaranteed Rate right now. They literally were just showing a family.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I like that.
It's nice. I mean, they got
kids who go to games.
There was a family
baseball
of like
games.
40 people in the outfield, and then there was a family from I'm going to guess Western Springs that was sort of down the third baseline.
They all look like a lost Baldwin brother out there on the Guaranteed Rate. You notice the families that all kind of look like that, like the Baldwin.
Yeah, there's
like
a lot of those guys
loosely related to the Baldwin.
Timmy, Tommy.
Right. To Rose's point, somebody texted in 312. We could say this because we're on the stream. I was painting faces at Brick House, and a lady wanted her new boobs painted with a W flag and lots of glitter. She would not shut up about her boobs, and then she probably went into the ballpark and probably tried to show them off to people.
Yeah.
Are we talking south side or north side there?
The Wrigley.
Okay. Got it with the W flag.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if she knows how many innings are in baseball.
No, she knows how much the players are making, though. One by one by one by one.
Give you their full salary breakdown.
Oh, God
is right.
Such a beautiful picture of love you paint, Ro.
But you're not getting that at the rate. You're getting families at the rate. You got a husband and wife yelling at each other.
Oh, yeah, we saw that.
Yeah.
They were getting into it.
Yeah, you get that. But you don't get. But you're not getting.
That scene,
like the out fishing for a husband scene, not exactly the same thing.
Different types of passionate.
Right, in terms of their fans. Yeah. So that's what it is. All right. Anyway, I had enough besmirching of our teams. Let's find out from Kim what's going on in the newsroom. Rocon Show with Anna DeBlantis on WGN everywhere.
We're everywhere. Streaming, smart speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in on the internets.
We're like we're like snow. You know, when it lands, it's everywhere. Will there be snow tomorrow?
Oh gosh.
That's the question. Tom Skilling.
Don't like the thought of that.
Will answer that question for us. And I fear the answer. So Tom, will it snow tomorrow?
You know what? This is not a big deal. But there may be a couple of wet snowflakes mixed in. I think the best chance of that is probably up north and northwest and probably away from the lake. Look, we've got an east wind that's going to blow off low 40-degree lake waters, so that starts you well above freezing in the city and along Lake Michigan. But the dew points are low, so there might be a little evaporative cooling. And sometimes when that happens, you get some ice pellets or a couple of wet snowflakes. But know, this is not going to be a big deal. The big thing tomorrow will be the big temperature drop compared to today. And then we're going to shoot into the warm sector late in the day on Thursday. So we could see 70-degree temperatures in the southern suburbs and probably low and mid-60s up across the city by late in the day. Won't feel that way as the day begins, but and then a classic high wind situation with the day that starts sunny on Friday, but clouds over as the backwash showers come in.
Do you have to call it backwash? Do you really?
You know what? I always liked that term. I thought it was descriptive. Oh, you know, but why does that bother?
Because it's like the backwash. It's like at the end of a like. This reminds you as a
you're
kid.
Sharing a drink with your siblings, and then you know somebody's got their backwash in it, and you get the last sip.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And then you're like, oh, you just in your mind, it just tastes funny.
Yeah.
Well,
not your mind.
Well, your mind kind of plays tricks with you because you sort of it makes it worse than it is, I think.
And you try not to throw up. These are all the things that would come to mind when you say backwash.
Just conjures up bad things.
Well, that explains why you're opposed to that term.
Exactly.
You know what I could do is I could submit terminology that we're going to use, and you guys could kind of check off what you like and what
like
you don't.
Like a menu.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
Kind of, you know.
I want sunny. I want warm. I want gentle breezes. That's the only words that I am going to allow you to use. Although it will not be sunny, warm, nor have gentle breezes tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And bomb cyclone, another thing that should be eliminated since we're crossing them off. That one should go first.
Yeah, somebody wrote me on Facebook and said, well, there you guys go, hyping this again. That term actually had its origins with MIT scientists who used to talk about fast developing storms as bombs, and so it caught on. It's one of those terms. I think it's kind of descriptive because
I like when scared people complain about being scared.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that describes about 90% of the comment sections.
I know,
like it, you know, or Facebook posts or you know, reactions of people. It's like, how dare you tell me something I don't want to hear?
That's true. That's the kind of stuff you get, and it's only from a handful of people, but they make
it's
a lot of
ones.
Noise.
It's the same ones over and over and over again.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. We've given them a megaphone with social media.
Mm.
So a lot of these people that just kind of hung out, you know, somewhere, and now they get right on there because it's so easy to get on a keyboard and bellyache.
Sure.
I feel like Lee Elia. It's exactly how I feel now.
Yeah.
I feel like Lee Elia did in 1980 or whatever that was when he was getting ripped by the press and by the fans.
I always felt sorry for him, and I thought that's probably a cleansing exercise. I was happy he did it.
Yeah. Do we have the Lee Elia? Can we play that? All right, hold on. Yeah. See, now this is how I feel.
I know.
Here we are 40 years later, and here is how I feel about social media. So when you hear Lee talking, the former Cubs manager, after a bad day baseball game in which things didn't go well and they were getting ripped and there was very few people out in the stands and he was mad at them for even showing up. This explains
it's a classic.
40 years on, this is how America behaves.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. I hope we get hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 people that show up every day. Because if they're the real Chicago fans, they can kiss my right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My what am I supposed to do? Go out there and let my players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the nickel dime people that show up? The mother don't even work. That's why they're out at the game. They're only glad to get a job and find out what it's like to go out there and live it. 85% of the world's working. The other 15 come out here.
Oh,
playground for the rip them mother rip them what the players. Got guys busting their and those people boo. And that's the cut? My
You know, I say go get him, Lee.
Insulting the fans, though? I don't know. Is that right?
You know what? With the garbage he had been putting up with them at that point in time. I mean, do you know what? They did an article in the New York Times. You know, we're all told you're not supposed to get angry. You're not supposed to swear. They interviewed a bunch of psychiatrists and said, actually, it's medicinal.
Yeah.
You know, it's cleansing to let it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, if you got a steam pot and you crack the lid a little bit to let some of the pressure out instead of the whole thing blowing up on you.
Well, what happened to him?
What, to Lee Elia?
Yeah.
He was getting ripped in the press.
Oh.
And then they were 3,000 people were showing up at Wrigley Field that were upset with the Cubs. They were, you know, they're saying things about him and about the players, and people were making fun because they were the not-so-lovable losers in 1980.
Yeah. You know what? And look, the coach can't go out there and swing the bats and hit the home runs. You kind of feel for these guys in that situation. I know they're handsomely rewarded and all the rest, but I don't think any coach goes out there desirous of losing, you know. I don't know. Yeah. You know, and I met him. He came in here a couple of years ago. What a nice guy. I mean, just the man had just reached the end of his rope.
Yeah. You know? I mean, sometimes you read things and you're like, oh, what? And what do you? And what is it that you do? I was once asked that by somebody, and I've always remembered it because. And so, what is it that you do?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, she was like, I'm a brain surgeon.
Oh.
What is it that you do?
Oh, I see.
You know, is it one of those kinds of things?
That kind of thing.
So to me, it's like, if people, they don't like what it is or what you're saying or whatever it is, you know, then get your own show. And now everybody can. See, that's the thing. That now when we, you know,
you're right.
We used to say that, then now they go, well, I have a podcast.
Yeah.
And on my podcast, I'm going to tell everybody how awful you are.
Right. That's good. That's you don't like what's coming out, then you know, do it better.
I have 140 followers on Twitter, and I'm going to let each and every one of them know exactly what kind of an a-hole you are.
I know. You know, the sad thing, though, about social media, you don't know who you're really hearing from.
Right.
You know, a lot of this stuff, I swear,
it's Vladimir.
Bots. Yeah, they're bots. Mm-hmm. You don't know who they are. I've always said that. And
if it's an egg coming after you on Twitter, it's not a human. And it's people that hide behind the other thing.
Yeah,
use your real name. If you're going to be a real person,
real name, real bio,
right.
Put an email address or something else.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of it's not right.
Instead
the
of
people with no followers and are following four people, it's, come on.
I know, instead of discontented 2019 or something like that, you know,
you just can't take it seriously.
I used to
think. People just want conflict for conflict.
But I've always noticed, like, working in broadcasting that out of, you know, the news department and weather, you know, you get beaten up, but the sports departments in this town, I mean, you say one tiny thing wrong or get one factoid slightly erroneous, or you give a little more coverage to the Cubs on a day when the White Sox are also playing.
Right.
Watch out. Watch out. The hate mail. The email. I mean, everything would just light up. It just lights up. People get very angry about sports.
But we have
in this
made.
Town.
Now, it's funny because that's an excellent observation because sports is about passion, right? It's about because you feel like a family connection to it. But now politics has become like that because you've got coverage of politics like it's a blood sport, like it's an actual sport as opposed to policy and wonkiness. I mean, back, you know, when we were growing up, we're going to talk about politics. It's like, oh, God, no. And then Nixon happened, right? And it became kind of a news story. And then cable news happened and you had Reagan and you had Clinton. Oh my God. Couldn't get better than that, right? And now here we are. And now it just seems to get wackier and more entertainment driven and more like a sport than it is like actually trying to get, you know, with a bunch of old flatulent senators sitting around, you know. making some decision about whether something is a national park or not. I mean, I like those days.
You know, you bring up flatulence, that brings up methane in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
This is not good.
Right.
So I hadn't thought about that. Maybe they're releasing greenhouse.
Flatulent cows and old senators are the two leading causes of methane in the environment.
Big problem for global warming.
I know. But it's... No, I remember when that happened. Eddie Schwartz was doing the All Night Show, and he put that thing on and had the listeners guess how many obscenities Lee had let rip. And I think it was, he put a stopwatch to it, as I recall. It was like, that thing ran a minute and 40 seconds or something. And I think the count was around 33, as I recall.
Yeah, I think it was right, 33 edits.
in a minute 40 seconds. Yeah. But you know what?
We're on the web now. You know, I almost wish we had the original of that.
I know.
I'm sure you can find it. Because on the web, we can play it.
Sure.
And then we're going to, all right, come on, take this.
I know.
And I think it was Swirsky got that.
I think it was Grobber.
Oh, Grobstein. Grobber got it, right.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. The original?
He still talks about it every time I see him.
Yeah, I know. I felt so bad for the guy. That had come at the end of a merciless
bad day.
Instead of weeks of criticism and all, and you know, a coach must get to that point sometime where, you know, look, we're doing the best we can. You know, easy to sit there in the stands and rip us up. But
I know exactly what he's talking about.
There you go, Coach. That's right.
That's exactly right.
Now, how have you been?
I'm great.
Oh, we missed him.
I couldn't be better. I'm in the broadcast booth now.
Yeah.
I was going to go work for the Association of American Football, but they wouldn't have me. But yet they hired Johnny. Don't call me Johnny. Call me John Mansell, which is the kind of thing I'm doing in the booth now.
Maybe the XFL for you, Coach.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm coming back.
Well, Coach, it's great to hear your voice again. I've really missed that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just good to hear. He's still
don't
around.
Have a pep in my step now, unlike when I was coaching the Bears, and everybody was yelling at me, and then they were making fun of my damn monkey. My monkey was dead.
Yeah, that wasn't right, Coach. I would agree.
Totally wrong.
Poor Gidget.
Yeah. Oh, God, Cowboy!
Sorry, Coach. I know you don't like when I bring up her name.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I mean, I understand why coaches get upset about things. But Dave Wannstedt was coach of the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Before, of course, John Fox, who was joining us. Thank you! Dave Wannstedt used to get so upset, he'd actually pull his mustache out. He had a part of his mustache on the right side, his right side of his left, your left, as you're looking at him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he would literally pull on the thing, and there was like a strip missing out of the, you know, the big, like, coach's stash that, you know, they still have. They're still rocking, without irony. I mean, I don't understand why they continue to do it. But, like, everybody at one point had to have it. It's got to be the most unbelievably grueling thing in a town like Chicago.
Oh.
Especially a team like the Bears. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
And it's been just a nightmare. This guy, though, the new guy, even though no one knows how to pronounce his last name, Coach Nagy or Nagy, Coach Nagy is, you know, he won everybody over.
Totally.
By making the playoffs and being a dominant team and just being like a player's kind of coach, too, and sharing that enthusiasm and being positive. But that's because his team went 12-4.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, that
could have very easily gone another way.
Yeah, right. 4-12, which everybody was predicting.
Right.
That would, you know, he would have been pulling. He doesn't have any hairdo, but he would just literally have missing welts of skin on his head.
You know, I'm not coaching, and I already have ulcers just thinking about coaching. Yeah. You know, it's just something.
Thank you, Tom, for your support.
That's all right,
they
Coach. I'm in your corner.
They don't always look healthy. I remember watching Thibodeau. I would really worry about him. I couldn't go to a Bulls game because I would be. You see that you could feel the stress oozing out of his pores. It was stressful for me to watch it. I couldn't handle it.
Well, they watch tape till midnight and get up at 4:30.
Right.
It's
start all over again.
It's pretty crazy.
I know.
Thibodeau did look like a walking cardiac arrest.
Didn't he? I was like, make sure we have the proper equipment in the, you know,
face
UC.
Bright red.
Yeah. And it would and the suit never fit right, and it would like go back and forth, and only like a pacing animal, right? Because he had like four feet to go back and forth in.
He didn't have enough room.
Right. And it would turn around. Where's Eric Rose? Where is he?
I'm trying to manage him.
Why is he hurt? Oh, God! It's essentially the same voice as John Fox. It's just it's got to go a little lower. I can't disambiguate it.
That's like I've got one accent, too, another accent. You
guys, every guy who got punched in the throat has the exact same sound.
Right.
I don't know. That's just basically what it is.
You know?
All right, well. It was great to go down memory lane of failed Chicago coaches.
Gosh.
I hadn't thought about Lee Elia for a long time.
Oh, gosh.
That's very interesting. And I did. My heart went out to him that night. I thought,
But you have to be. Now, there are certain coaches or managers in Chicago that have transcended it. They just weren't going to take it.
Yeah.
Right? Ozzie Guillen. Mm-hmm. Right? When people get mad at Ozzie Guillen, he got madder. You know, it's sort of the
right.
It was. It's almost a Trump principle. He's going to punch you back, and maybe literally punch you back. Right. You know, harder.
And maybe next time you'll think about saying anything.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Ditka.
Yeah.
Ditka. Let's not forget about
right.
Ditka.
Right.
Ditka. Totally. Do you have any other Ditka?
Would lose it on a reporter if you asked something that.
Here's
he didn't
your
really
IQ, buddy. That was one of my favorite ones of all time.
Oh, gee. I remember that one.
I know. You've got to do what you've got to do to survive.
At some
that.
Point, you
know,
you I do. Just, it's you, just so hard.
I know. It really is.
Can you imagine? You're already feeling miserable after your team loses.
Sure.
And then you got to field questions about every little thing that went wrong.
You must walk into that press room after a loss and think, oh, brother, I've got to come up with, got to deal with this again.
I know.
It's just, you know, Coach, you know uniquely.
My favorite thing that he would do was when they would ask him, like, on a Tuesday what the injury report was for the upcoming week, or a Wednesday, I guess, because they would, and he'd have to go through the injury report, and it would be an hour long.
Yeah. No.
And it's not my fault.
No.
We used to play it on the show, remember, with the MASH theme under it? It was terrific.
So, anyway, all right.
But those days are over.
Yeah, those days, right. It's totally
Bears.
new era.
Go Bears.
Yeah, Bears.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, guys, happy Tuesday. Hasn't this weather been great?
Oh,
it has been.
Perfect, but April is so cruel, Tom, because it just plays with us. And
it
spring
does.
In general.
It does.
Just
I
even
know.
What you've described in the week ahead. It just,
yeah. Oh,
it,
yeah. We're all over the map. But you know what's interesting? There's still another nice warm-up coming later next week.
Thank God.
And yeah. So we could, like, Tuesday next week, we could be back in the mid-60s. And it looks like Wednesday, Thursday is fairly warm next week, too. So, you know, these warm spells will become more and more frequent, which is good.
Love it.
I'm going to leave you on,
please
a little,
don't.
On a little Mike Ditka here.
Would you like
to enjoy that? Here you go.
Here, have a quarter. Make a phone call.
Get your mouth shut. Get your mouth shut, you jerk. Dick you. See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero. I know I'm smarter than that, some.
You know what? Go get a mic. That is. Until you've stood in a person's shoes, you know, you can't totally understand level of frustration that brings a response like that out, you know?
I know I'm smarter than that jerk.
I know. With an IQ of zero.
That's your IQ, buddy.
I know.
That's your IQ, buddy. I think it was that same day. I think that happened after a Minnesota game up in Minnesota in the Roller Dome, the old Hubert Humphrey Dome.
Yeah.
And this was even before they were naming the domes after corporations. he took his gum out and he threw it at a guy.
Oh,
in the stands.
Class.
Now, that sounds like an NFL fine type thing.
I don't know.
Ditka was excluded from all fines.
Right, exactly. See, now Roger Goodell would have him arrested, taken into...
in prison.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to have a full investigation by the NFL on this.
That will result in nothing.
It's going to result in a 4-minute suspension and whatever the rest of the owners say I should do.
Yeah.
But Roger, there's videotape.
I'm not aware of it. I believe it no longer exists. It was on Tom Brady's phones that were smashed, rolled over, and acid washed like my jeans are.
Oh.
Yeah. Jane says she likes it when I wear my acid-washed jeans.
Oh, I would trust Jane.
All right.
Brainy Northwestern graduate.
His wife, yes.
Go Cats.
That's the best thing that ever happened to him.
She's lovely.
That was the last good thing to happen to him, other than his contract. All right. It's time now, Tom, for us to go and you to go and us all to go. And thank you very much for hanging out with us.
You have brightened my afternoon here. I'll tell you, jeez. I needed a little Lelia today. So
turns out we all did. It really helped me, too.
Yeah. Rip those MFers! Rip them!
Yeah, I know.
Rip them!
Here's a quarter.
Exactly.
Here's a quarter. Call somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, now think about how long ago that was. Here's a quarter. Call somebody. You say that now to a millennial.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Anyone under 35.
Right. And you go, what do you mean a quarter? What do I do? What's a quarter?
Right. Forget the notion of calling. You know, in the quarter's a foreign concept.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
Oh, God.
Well, guys, you have brightened up my afternoon.
Thank you. Thank
and
you,
it's
Tom.
A pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
You
Thanks,
bet.
Tom.
See you, Anna.
Let's
see you, Ro.
Thank you, Tom. Let's check in with Kim right now, find out what's going on in the WGN newsroom. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, streaming live from Chicago on WGN Everywhere, and we are everywhere. We'd like to welcome members of the Taliban listening to us in Afghanistan right now on the web. Cut it out. That's what we'd like to say to you.
Yeah, just stop. Okay.
Yes,
we're on to you,
President Xi in China. You cut it out too. Mm-hmm. Although I gotta say, did you see that there's a connection between Ming Fu Hulu, or whatever the woman's name is, who was the Orchids of Asia lady?
The former owner, who was the Mar-a-Lago.
Yes.
She's a member, wasn't she, at Mar-a-Lago? She is?
I think she was just there at an event.
Just there.
I don't know if she's a member.
Watching.
It's like $250,000
Super
to become
Bowl.
A member.
She couldn't have sold that entire chain of Orchids of Asia?
So it used to be $100,000 till he became president. Now it's $250,000. Is that legal? Is that okay?
It's in the tax returns.
Yeah, I don't know how that goes. But anywho, the question really is, there's a connection now between that the lady who tried to get in to Mar-a-Lago with all the spy equipment.
Oh.
And the Orchids of Asia lady.
Get out.
Yeah.
You
kind of had to know that was coming.
Operation Bobby K.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Penetrate the country club.
That's extra.
That's a lot extra.
So there is there's something going on there.
There's something going on.
I'm
going
to tell you something right now. The stories that will emerge in this the year 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be one of them. That there's going to be more to this Orchids of Asia thing than we ever thought. Because this is going to be a scandal that's going to rock that whole area down there. That also
it's amazing how many high-profile and extremely wealthy, successful people were caught up in that.
Yeah.
I mean, per capita, it's just strange for the strip mall-style nothing of a salon.
Salon. That's very generous of you.
Look, if you drove by it, that's what you would think it was, a massage, you know, parlor, right?
There you go, get a Bobby K special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you drive by, let me just put it to you this way. I don't know. Like, okay, for example... I think the ladies on the show, if you were to go get a massage, if you decided, hey, you know what, I need a massage, you'd probably go to a spa of some sort, right? Where there would be, maybe at a hotel, the downtown hotels have others, or a hair salon, right? They've got a place, they got the chairs. Out in the open, where you put your head through the hole in the chair, and there's somebody back there.
Some kind of scented something below your nose.
Yeah, maybe.
It's or a just lavender.
Just a diminutive Asian woman who has incredibly strong hands,
but perfectly soft at the same time.
Yeah, that is just what it is. But the pedicures and all the right. But it's out in the open. You see what's going on. Those kinds of places that we're talking about, every guy knows what that is. That's you're not going there because you're like, I got an old baseball injury. I got worked out. I'm going over to Orchids of Asia to get my shoulder stretched up. That's not what's happening. You can Athletico for that, right? You want to get something? You want to really get a massage? You're doing something therapeutic? Athletico. You're doing something, you know.
And something tells me they don't need a good deal on a massage. They're not going there because it's cheap.
Right. Right.
As a matter of fact, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, it's right. And down there, I think that's the point. I think in this little Palm Beach County den of iniquity, there's something else that maybe what will come out of it. My prediction is that there may be folks down there who might be working. This is just, again, total speculation on my part.
Okay.
But would it shock you to learn
That you're totally speculating?
That I'm...
No.
Which would shock you to learn that, that you know, maybe because, you know, it's near Mar-a-Lago and it's all these rich people who hang out at Mar-a-Lago and stuff, that maybe the Chinese government got in, that, you know, this would be... This is a good place to hold up an intelligence operation. Ming Fu, are you up to your job?
You think they, the prostitutes were, or the women who were human trafficked, depending on what the classification is, were also doubling as intelligence?
Yes, I do. I do think they were, yes. So what did President Trump say at dinner last night? You know, so, I mean, I kind of had
well, it's strange. Okay, here, the New York Times has some of the people. So Robert Kraft, we all know he's been the name that comes up repeatedly. But listen to this. John Havens, former president, chief operating officer of Citigroup, big dude. John Childs, founder of the private equity firm Childs Associates, a billionaire himself. I mean,
this is a bunch of rich dudes talking at the Mar-a-Lago golf course, being like, all right, Ming Fu Luhu.
Yeah.
Over at this massage.
You know what we need to do on the way home? They have a couple drinks. They, right, they play. I see this happening already.
They make a bunch of inappropriate jokes to each other.
8:30 tea time. They meet for breakfast at 7:45. Balls in the air. 8:30. Then they get done. They're, you know, about 11:30, 12. Fast round, right? Mm-hmm. Limited course, unless the president's out there. And I know the president is a total ditka on the golf course.
Driving through everybody.
Drives through everybody. Drives his cart up under the tee box and onto the green to make his putts. Right? Hits it over the head. If you look behind to see if he's back there, and it's just going to go right over your head. It's the way Ditka does it. I know that's the way Trump does it. He's done in 2.5 hours, right, on a golf course. So you go there. You see a bunch of guys, rich guys, are all getting together. Let's just assume Trump's back in Washington doing something important. And they're just out at Mar-a-Lago. These guys, these rich guys. And they're done. You know, they go, they have a bowl of soup, even though it's 90 degrees for lunch.
They have a cardigan over
right,
their shoulders.
Right.
It's a little chilly.
They play a little, then they play gin for about an hour, right, in the gin room, and they're smoking cigars and gin. And now it's about, and their wives want them home at 4. That's what they're expecting. So right around 2:30, they're like, what do you think? Want to go over by Ming Fu Luhu?
Somebody pulls the blue pills out of their locker.
Right, exactly. And then they head over to the massage parlor before they head home, have more cocktails with their wife, and then they have a bunch of people come over to their fancy condos and or homes.
That seems accurate to me.
Yeah, I think I got that one pretty much
that one's
nailed
pretty much
down. Yeah.
The conspiracy about the whole massage parlor may be a stretch, but what you just unfolded, in front of us, I think is dead on.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what's going on there. But I'm wondering now if you're, maybe you're a foreign actor of some sort. I'm not talking about Gerard Depardieu. I mean, a foreign actor of a government. Maybe this is a way of doing some, you know, sort of cultural or economic or even political espionage while you're there, because it's a good place to be, right?
Unbelievable.
Because then all of a sudden, you know, you got these guys who are compromised.
Got secret little microphones they're hiding on the bodies of these old guys.
Or they got, look, they're all on tape. The problem is the FBI compromised them now. Because the FBI has got tape of Robert Kraft.
The act.
Yeah.
That's like, how do they get out of this?
The actual Bobby K special.
Yeah.
On video.
It's time for you to roll over.
I need to stick this microphone somewhere.
Has that ceiling tile always had a red light blinking in it? He rolls over to see the blinking tile on the ceiling. Wait a second. Hold on a second. I never rolled over before.
What the hell is that?
Now, you said that these are immediately recognizable to most men. Is this... I mean, didn't you think that the billionaires involved here, did you really believe this is where they were going?
It's a boys club thing. Yeah. They all talk about it. Oh, you're not going to believe what she did to me the other day. Yeah. Oh, really? Cool. Let me get some blue pills. I'm going to stop there, boy. Hope.
I don't know any of this firsthand, but I can just share this with you. often at these fancy Florida clubs, I spent a little time playing golf in some of them, there's always like some dive bar. a couple of blocks away where the caddies hook up some of the players for whatever it is that might be somewhat illicit, whether it's drugs or companionship or gambling. Gambling, right? And that's not an unusual circumstance. They have these super rich guys
in these divey establishments.
Right. Now, let me just ask you a question.
Mm.
Who is Donald Trump's director of social media?
Donald Trump.
Himself.
No. His former caddy from Mar-a-Lago. That's all I'm going to say. That the caddies, the professional caddies, the guys in their 20s and 30s, you know, didn't quite make it out of Q school, decide they're going to go. They make a lot of money down in Florida in the winter and up north in the summers.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a couple $100 a round, right? And then they, you know, they do 2-3 loops a day. And then they perform other services for the members. You know, they drive for them. They find them things. They do things that are, you know, there's a whole other world that goes on down there. And I'm just saying that there's an entire.
There's more to Ming Fu Lulu, though.
There's something.
So that's interesting. You think that so there are some ties now, we believe, between the Chinese national woman who was picked up at Mar-a-Lago trying to get in with the malware and the multiple phones and had the cash in her.
$9,000 in cash.
In her hotel room. And
right.
Just.
And she was worried that her cameras were going to get stolen and she left $9,000 in cash in her hotel room. I'm just saying that there's a whole other world there that goes on. In that there's a Sub Rosa there, and in the fancy golf establishment, it's not like a 1930s movie with Nick and Nora Charles. It's not, I mean, these guys are going, you know, even the richest guys, and these guys they get bored. They want to do something, right? And they
that's
end
what
up
you're blaming it on
finding
boredom?
Trouble. They are, yeah. Whatever. I mean, whatever drives him to do it, drives him to do it.
Well, I just think the problem for Robert Kraft and the others is the video. If they didn't have the video, you could see these guys getting, you know, that there would be a different deal cut. But they're worried about this video. And that seems to be, every time their lawyers go to court, it's about why did the law enforcement have to take such drastic measures to install cameras? That was, they outstepped their rights and the bounds of law. And this was, you know, this is what they're fighting. That's what they're worried about.
That's why I'm suspicious that there's something else here. That's why I'm suspicious that there's more to this.
Why does that make you suspicious, that piece of it?
Because they've gone extra hard on this because you wouldn't find that in Stone Park, you know, at a massage parlor there. But these are very well-heeled people, and that, you know, right outside the gates of Mar-a-Lago. I think there's something else going on here. I really do. And these are all people who are members there. They want to know what's going on.
The underground world of Palm Beach County.
Or whatever that... Well, I mean, and that's true.
It kind of is, though, right? It probably is.
It's true in Collier County. It's true on the other side. It's true down in Fort Lauderdale. It's true in all these other places where all these rich people are, you know... And listen, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with loving golf. But let's just be honest here that this isn't like... What was happening here doesn't happen in a lot of other places. And somehow they decided to focus. The FBI is down there with cameras on this human trafficking situation there. They're looking for something else. I know it's
probably true. Human trafficking is a pretty big deal.
Yes.
And so that would maybe warrant it more than people who were willfully participating in this and who were not being told they had to make back the money that, you know, the cost of bringing them to this country and their passports were held. And that element, I think, makes it rise to a higher level where you could see the feds.
But they could have gone 10 miles down the road and found the exact same thing.
And they did. There were several different spas. It wasn't just the one where Kraft was found. There were like several others as part of this network.
Well, I hope that justice is served.
You hope that the video never comes out.
I pray.
We can all pray for that.
Like, Robert, whatever you got to do. Got to do 10 years, do 10 years. It's really good for all of us. It's the best outcome if you could somehow keep your pants on video. We don't have to deal with this. Because nobody wants to see this.
You can imagine the amount like the TMZs of the world are offering to try to get that video.
Right. I'm just kind of guessing that Robert Kraft is also thinking the same thing.
That he could.
So he's talking to his, he's talking to his Mike Monaco and trying to figure out how he's going to keep this from happening. I'll bet you, and more than one occasion, he's cried in the lawyer's office, going, "Hey, this can't come out. They'll ruin me forever. Oh my God, I'm half Irish."
Yeah, plus he tries to play the whole like I'm the young, hip, cool old guy.
Yeah.
So that video, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. It could be a real bad look.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need extra help in here. Can't get him going.
What time do you take pill? What time do you take pill?
We told you 15th hole. Not the 18th.
Oh God. Oh God. All right.
Bring in the backups. We need everyone in here.
Oh God. It's a bad situation. Everybody's unhappy. All right. All I want is that video never to come out. And I'm all right, you think I'm crazy, but I have been right about a lot of these things so far. This one, I even will admit I may not be right about. But my instinct tells me that there's a reason that they have focused on this, on that particular place. I mean, obviously, the clientele is super fancy. But they got, but there's, you know, there's fancy other places, too. I just think there's something here.
Hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, to have this woman showing up, right? And we can't figure out who she is, and somehow she has some sort of linear connection to the former establisher of this chain, very well respected chain.
Was he the member that she mentioned when she came in? I thought that she mentioned the member of the Mar-a-Lago Club, that Chinese national, when she walked in.
But she had the same last name as a member there.
Okay, so
that's
she
what it was
mentioning. The person Rose talking about.
Yeah, but the woman who was
called Ming Fu Lu, and that's the only name that comes to my mind. Ming
Fu
Lu.
But Ming Fu Lu is like the current owner of that. You know what? For legal purposes, let's just separate everybody out here. Ming Fu Lu, right? Was that the woman's real name? That she was like the manager of the place that they took into custody as well. Again. Extra. And then they did like a whole other like background on it, and that's how the woman from Mar-a-Lago popped up. The woman from the picture at Mar-a-Lago for the Super Bowl party. She popped up because she, I believe, was there with someone else at that Super Bowl party. And the president's right there. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole other issue here. But that goes to this whole thing with the Secret Service that people have been complaining about, that you're too close. You realize they had a guy last night on CNN talking about how he lives in Palm Beach. He lives about a half mile up the beach from Mar-a-Lago, and he can walk right up to Mar-a-Lago and go into the pool at Mar-a-Lago. And it's like, how is that possible that
right.
you can get that close to the president?
And the Secret Service doesn't have control of Mar-a-Lago.
Well, they do. They have perimeter control.
When they give control of him, but generally speaking,
right.
it's the hotel itself that decides who comes and goes.
Right. And think about this. That woman got through the Secret Service perimeter, and it was the receptionist of Mar-a-Lago who's like, "Who the hell are you? I'm here for an event."
And she had that scanning device to detect hidden cameras, too.
Right. Oh, God. If Bob Kraft had one of those, this
if
never would have happened.
If only. Maybe, yeah.
He's going to carry that.
He's
going to wear that on his hipster baseball hat that he wears now.
Those cool kicks he's got on.
Yeah. He should put those in his his
skinny jeans.
Skinny jeans and teen-like shoes. All right. I think I've done enough damage here for one day. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got the news with Kim Gordon. And then we're awaiting the end of the Cubs game, Sox game, one of the games. I forget who's playing?
The Sox.
Sox and Rays.
It was like a flashback moment. It was like, you know, when your parents think it's 1942, it was the same thing. I thought it was 2009. There is the Sox now. It's the bottom of the ninth. We'll probably get back to WGN Radio by about 5:30. We're going to do the top five of five. after 5:30. So stay tuned for that. And then more hilarity will ensue, and perhaps more trouble will be caused by my own random and reckless speculation right after this. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
On WGN Everywhere. In about 20 minutes, we'll be on 720 AM WGN. We get the bottom of the hour news in with Kim, and we'll also get all of your excitement and the thrill of the top 5 of 5 coming your way at 5:30 today.
It's very good. Always is good. Kind of sneak peek of one of the items, and it's going to be pretty special.
Yes. We would like everybody to be able to enjoy it. We should just do a special top 5, dirty top 5 for the web.
Can you imagine? The show is a little different when it's on the stream, I've noticed.
Yes. I may have been recklessly speculating about the intent of members of the Mar-a-Lago golfing community.
I enjoyed it.
They're linked into some big conspiracies.
Well, I do think the Chinese government's involved in this at some level. I do. But would it surprise you to learn that there are people in the sex trade that are also spies? Would it surprise you to learn that?
Probably not.
Yeah. But it just is. That there's something else going on there. It's Florida country club life, and that's a totally different world there too, with the Bobby Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a girlfriend and a wife, right?
Yeah, he's got a girlfriend.
More speculation.
He's got a girlfriend who appears with him regularly on like the Super Bowl championships, and she's out there dancing with him at different events and stuff. They don't have a child. She has a child that's within the time frame of them dating, but no one says that it's his. He won't answer that question. So that's just how they live, and that's what it. That's what it's what.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on there, Ro.
His own personal masseuse as well.
I think that answers why there's a masseuse in the picture too. So the trust is gone in a situation like that. And it's like
as long as it's trust meaning honesty and not trust as in money. I think
No. It's both.
Oh,
both
okay.
Both the honesty gone. And the money gone. You're going to make a trust for little Bobby K. Jr. BK, as we call him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because that's my living trust right there is BK, is what she is saying to him. So that's how that's going to go. And so then next thing you know, he's stopping by the Orchids of Asia. I think that just explains a lot of things.
There are a few dots that you need to connect, but it doesn't seem that hard. He's not accepting the plea deal. That's the weird part here. He's not working this out.
Couldn't be dumber on his part. Because what is he? There's a video, right? Did they show him the video yet?
Of him, you mean involved in the act?
Yeah.
Well, I know that's what his lawyers have been fighting the hardest in terms of going in court and saying that this was beyond what anyone that they should have expected from the authorities to go in there, and they used a special search warrant. They got permission to do it because they had to install cameras and recording devices, and that this case should never have reached that high bar. That's what his attorneys are saying, mm-hmm. to say that these are illegal videos to begin with, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't want the video.
Special search warrant. That's actually on the menu.
But remember, they offered him kind of what sounded like a sweetheart deal. It was just like, probation.
That's also on the menu, sweetheart deal. Yeah, go ahead.
Can't say anything. And like 100 hours of community service. Is that on? Is that?
Yes,
can that be
is.
On the menu?
That is as well. 100 minutes of community service, though.
So that's he's rejecting that, and he's going to fight it and fight it and fight it. So
I don't get it, man. I mean, it's like he's caught.
Totally
right, there's
fine.
Video
totally
of him. I mean, he could make the argument. Listen, I had no idea that they were going to do that, and they just started doing it, and I froze
twice. They went back within 24 hours.
100 different.
Well,
times.
I was hoping the next time it wouldn't happen. I didn't want to have the memory of the horror of that happening twice.
The same woman.
Yes.
Masseuse.
Right.
She puts her hand down there.
I don't
know.
There's nothing I can do. The towel moved. I couldn't do anything about it. I don't know.
I'm going to guess the video would not support that.
I'm going to guess it wouldn't. And I'm also going to guess it was because, I mean, and he had the argument that was he could make to his friends, listen, I was under a lot of stress. We were going to Kansas City. It was the AFC Championship game. It was, right. It was, you know, it's that new kid who's so great. I don't know what to do.
Got to blow off some steam.
Yeah, I'm just nervous. I think we're going to lose. We're not going to make it to the Super Bowl this year. I've got very high expectations. A lot of pressure on me.
He's saying all this to the masseuse.
Saying all this to his girlfriend who's got the baby. Who's like rolling her eyes. Don't worry about it. She's heading off to the whatever that Worth Avenue in Palm Beach is to go spend $100,000 in a shopping spree on a Sunday.
Well, prosecutors are saying even if his lawyers are successful in suppressing the video evidence that they supposedly, and I don't know how this is possible, have an eyewitness who is prepared to testify.
Someone had to watch that? Their poor eyes.
Yes, somebody had to watch that. Again, extra. I just, well, people, I'm, you know what? I'll bet you that's not the only cameras in those rooms. The feds probably had to get a better camera angle than the internal cameras that they already had there, too.
I think they just linked into the internal system.
Yes.
Sort of took advantage.
Right.
What was there?
Well, what do you, I mean, if you did have a massage parlor, wouldn't you, I mean, wouldn't it be in best interests to have cameras everywhere?
But I would think that the patrons would not be okay with that, and you'd have to put a sign up that would say you are being videotaped while you're naked on the...
Yes, because, you know, massage parlors are known for their rules. That's really true.
I'm just saying, when you get a massage, I think there's a... You would assume...
You can't put cameras in there.
You can't have a camera in there.
Putting cameras in a dressing room.
Yes!
There are cameras in dressing rooms.
But they tell you. There's a sign that says
you're being
surveilled.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they could tell you that, too. And, you know, Bobby Kay could think, well, I'm being surveilled by the person who's in here surveilling me and whatever else is going on.
No, but really, what are you going to do? You catch a camera, you're like, hey, what are you doing? You can't do that. And be like, you really want to talk about things going wrong right now?
Yeah. I'll tell you,
you're here.
I have 10,000 reasons why we did just do that. You could just leave that on your credit card on your way out. You got a black card? Because I know you don't have a black... Hey, let me ask you this.
Mm.
Do you... think that his lawyers have some sort of a strategy on that?
Yeah, it sounds like they are really working hard to suppress that evidence, the video evidence, and I don't know if they'll be successful. I'm sure he has great lawyers. That would be pretty wild if that happened, because it seems like fairly solid evidence that would prove the crime or whatever they're trying to prove. But it seems as if they're worried enough that they're already putting out this story about there being an eyewitness testimony available in case they're successful in this suppression.
Tell us what you
motion.
Saw.
Can you imagine?
Who do you think it might be?
Where did she touch him?
He's a very small man. White hair. Very nervous. A
lot of skin.
This is my apprentice. We're teaching her how...
Oh, God.
How would there be an eyewitness? I don't understand that.
Maybe he paid for it.
Yeah.
He liked having company in the room.
Yeah. Did you see there was a...
Is that extra?
We did this... Yeah, yes, for sure. It's double. We did this story today. This is kind of great. On Windy City.
Mm-hmm.
About there is... I think it's in... I want to say New Zealand is offering this to begin with. The... this is hard to believe that this is where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a consent condom. And it takes four... hands to open the package.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So,
and it's fingerprinted?
It's like a box. It's like but it's sort of like origami. and you have to have left hand and a right hand. So you have to have a thumb and finger of some sort on each corner. And then you have to do it together. You have to press down on it and then it opens up the box.
What if somebody only has one hand?
It's a big problem. You're gonna have to find somebody else to come in and help with this.
You gotta improvise then.
Yeah. Try with your teeth. I don't know. Toes. Whatever. But I think I don't see this as being a gigantic seller.
No.
But it is interesting, right? It's like the world in which we live now, where it's like, okay, now we got to have consent. Like, you know, they just want to make sure that there's, you know, full consent here.
Got to have a legal document next to your bed. Sign here, here, and here, and date there.
I suggested that that there be one of those strips on the counter where you can sign it, where everybody signs it beforehand, waterproof ink, whatever it is.
Just a basic legal consent document here. Sign there, there, okay, and then let's get naked.
Wait, no, we got an initial. Wait, hold on. Wait, you didn't put the initials
here. Page three.
Right.
You did a date.
Also, I have cameras all over my room just to cover my ass here.
Eyewitnesses.
He means that in every term of cover his ass. What he means, yeah. Oh, God.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, how about
consent condom.
Consent condom. What is, do you have a story on?
Yeah, I do. You have to press,
Argentina. It's Argentina.
An Argentinian sex toy company.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to act, all four corners of the packaging must be pressed at the same time in order to open it. So it would be impossible. I guess you could use toes, but I don't.
You call the roommate in, dude, I need an extra hand. I don't know how the hell you get this thing open.
Ma!
Ma!
Ma! Ma! Just put your hands through the door!
We can't figure it out!
Don't look!
Just open the basement door a little bit.
I'm going to hold this out, and you press the two corners.
Get Dad. We might need his hammer to get this thing open.
Can I get you some scissors?
Oh, Kevin.
So proud
Are
you sure
of you. She's consented.
Practicing safe sex, Kevin.
This is so. Kevin, this is great.
Sorry, let me get my mom to help us out.
I'm sorry, I can't do it. Why isn't it working?
Hurry up. There's a limited window.
That's true.
She's getting it.
Mom, never mind. We got it.
We'll be up in 5 minutes for dinner.
We got it. Don't worry. Turn the TV back on!
10 minutes to open it, 2 minutes to use it. Yeah. Great, yeah.
2 minutes, wow. My God. That's really, yeah.
Studs you hang
out. I know, exactly.
Yeah. In this scenario, that's what I'm picturing.
All right. Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, God. I really pray that nobody is, paying attention to this.
See, our mistake was not using the accent, the New Zealand accent.
Right.
Somebody just added to all of it.
All right. Well, somehow, this, you know, what I really want to do, maybe tomorrow, because we're going to be on the web.
Yeah.
We could do an in-depth study into Kasimir Pulaski's sexuality. There was, did you see this story?
Wasn't that a fascinating story?
Kasimir Pulaski, they had to do something with his tomb. You know, the famous general, right, of Polish descent that became an American war hero.
Right.
War of 1812, right? Isn't that? Gotta get that right in Chicago. That's because he is a very serious, serious icon in the Polish community. But it turns out he may not have been a he. So they go into his tomb to fix something, and they decide this group of forensic anthropologists somehow got permission to do some DNA testing on him. And on his remains, and they find that he was actually had the pelvis of a woman.
How about that?
I know. You think I'm making this up? I'm not. That he had the cranial size and pelvis of a woman, and that he might have been intersex.
A hermaphrodite?
See, now that's what I said.
Yeah,
and they said no, it's intersex, and I don't know what that means.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, hermaphrodite, right? That's like where you have both the sexual organs, right?
Parts, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then this is more of like it's like a physical nature thing. Sort of, you know, it was weird. I don't know, and I'm thinking, you know,
I guess it's
Kasimir's actually Kathy Pulaski, and we didn't know.
Well, and couldn't have been in the military, I would imagine, if came out as a woman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, would it change the course of history?
In 1811, they weren't going to let him in. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know next year we're fighting this war of 1812, but we are not going to let you in now because, you know, we do not have Don't Ask, Don't Tell yet.
Right. 2018 hasn't happened yet either. But intersex, it says, is a person born with a reproductive...
Revolutionary War. So this would have been 1774. They would have been asking him. Save George Washington's life. Is that right? Okay. See, I got my history right. Now I got him intersex, and I got the wrong war. All right, fine. Don't call him a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, it's intersex.
What does that even mean?
The person born with the reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't fit typical definitions of either female or male.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's not...
Oh, that's distressing. Because hermaphrodite is... like
having both, reproductive
right?
organs of both or some
yeah. yes
at least in some form
right okay whoa. All right at least in some right whoa ma holy crap I'm on the internet looking at hermaphrodite
and it's not intersex
turn off the wi-fi
what is this
something else popped up on the screen too I'm sorry
don't look at my search history
got a virus now on the computer
And I'm using Dad's computer!
He's got the faster processor. He can download some serious stuff on that laptop.
Nothing's opening anymore!
Call Geek Squad.
Oh my God. All right. Anyway, so the point is, I guess when you get home tonight, don't look up. Don't look up Casimir Pulaski on the internet. Because this is what we just learned. All right. So how much time do I have to burn here before we
White Sox are done?
We got 9 minutes to go from right now.
Can you talk about intersex for 9 more minutes?
I don't think so. Oh, Kevin, just ruin the internet.
Can you imagine your mom telling the Geek Squad how it happened?
He heard about it.
His mom's over-explained everything.
See, this is what happened, okay? Let me just back up. Researching for a project, a history project.
He was on this radio show, and they were talking about Casimir Pulaski. And it turns out that Casimir Pulaski is not actually a hermaphrodite, but is actually intersex. And there is a difference. Now, the difference is it's subtle, but it's important. So in order to be accurate about it, he was looking it up. And the next thing you know, he just kept clicking and clicking and clicking. And then there was a virus warning.
His father's computer.
So let's just look at the search history together, and we'll see how we got here.
I don't know why they are looking at the Orchids of Asia website.
Why is Kevin looking up directions?
I think that was for a news story about the president.
All right. I have a question. I have an organizational question here.
Yeah.
Since we're here, and you know, I consider the people who are joining us on the web to be our friends and our co-producers here.
Yeah.
Because my God, it's you know.
Thanks for standing by us.
Right. The stuff that you're having to endure right now, you're like Kevin's mother.
Gets a little wacky on the stream. I'm just.
Sometimes you just have to look the other way. Should we do the news? Once we get back to the radio, do you think? Should we do that? So we're going to do the news with Kim before we rejoin. And then we'll do the top 5 of 5. That's what I'm being told right now. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. That's what I think you boys and girls should do. Is maybe play quietly. Get some crayons. Some paper. Think about what you were just doing. Separate the boys and the girls. Everybody goes in a different room.
Before you leave, Mom, can you help me open this consent condom?
Oh, Kevin, not again.
All right, let's do this. Oh, you know what? We can have Kim do the news now, and then we'll come back, and we will be joining the radio station, and we will never speak of what happened.
This never happened.
This never happened.
Between us.
Correct. We have no obligation to have logged any of this.
No.
And if we did, I would like the Geek Squad to come over and help us with that, too. hey,
the history.
If there's a way, I'm asking for a friend, but if you come over, you got to make stuff like disappear off the computer.
Like really disappear forever.
Because they say like if, even when you erase it, it's not really disappear, but we really got to have it disappear. All right, Cam, get us out of this. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis,
yes,
on WGN Everywhere. We're going to join WGN 720 AM coming your way in about 2 minutes. And I think what we should do is for the radio audience who's returning to us, who I think they should get a traffic report right off the top.
Sounds good.
Lauren, can you throw that together? Can you work that out?
In 2 minutes? Yes.
Yes. All right. Won't be that much different than the one you just did, but I'm just...
Nope.
The point being... That just kind of welcomes everybody back into the stream, and then we'll get to the top five at five. We'll do it like that.
Perfect.
And again, and this is a very important point I'm about to make.
Yeah.
We shall never speak of what happened on the web today.
Stays on the stream.
Mm-hmm. What happened on the stream stays on the stream.
Mm-hmm. It's a new rule.
Yes.
Should have been implemented a while ago, but I'm glad we now have that.
Delete
in
the
place.
Browser history from our stream.
Yeah, it has gotten worse and worse and worse. Our behavior on the stream, and it's sort of it's one of those things where like this is where the teacher calls the parents in and says, you know, something just happened somewhere in the middle of the semester, and it's just I don't know if it's a new set of friends or is there something going on at home, you know, whatever it is, we're in that moment with our stream performance. It's a different thing.
Totally different.
I was watching Kevin. I really thought he was about to throw up.
I know. He was losing. He was bright red and losing it.
I would like, first of all, just before we leave the stream, I would like to apologize to Robert Kraft.
Why are you apologizing to Robert Kraft?
The Chinese government.
Okay.
Ming Fu Hulu.
For linking them to a ginormous conspiracy theory.
The family or countrymen of Kessler and Pulaski.
All the golfers in South Florida.
And everybody who belongs to a golf club where the initiation fee is more than $100,000 in South Florida, East or West Coast. That's what I would like to apologize. All of those people. And to all the caddies.
I feel
of Florida.
Like you may have left something out.
I think that's true.
I'm sure I did. And to all of you for dragging you into this in the first place. This is what do they call that when you have to, when you're in front of the judge and you have to apologize. Welcome to the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN
yes.
and the World Wide Web at WGNRadio.com and tune in and all the rest of those places, which if you've been listening to this program that has been going on since 3 o'clock,
you would have
learned some things about us that perhaps we're not fit for the majesty of AM broadcasting.
I would say that's very true.
So it's time now, because we waited for you, for...
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four. Three. Two. One.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at...
Number five.
Attorney General William Barr was slated to testify about President Trump's budget request for the Department of Justice, but it didn't take long for his proceeding today on Capitol Hill to stray and focus on Barr's four-page summary of the special counsel report. Under questioning from Representative Jose Serrano, Barr spelled out the criteria he was using for the redacting.
The first is grand jury information, 6E material. The second is information that the ICE, the intelligence community, believes would reveal intelligence sources and methods. The third are information in the report that could interfere with ongoing prosecutions. You will recall that the special counsel did spin off a number of cases that are still being pursued, and we want to make sure that none of the information in the report would impinge upon either the ability of the prosecutors to prosecute the cases or the fairness to the defendants.
He's going to color code the report.
Redaction, yeah.
So that in those four categories, so that you can tell why it was redacted based on that reasoning.
Now, what is interesting there, the new piece of information we get from that is that there are ongoing investigations.
Right.
So things that would impact ongoing investigations, which basically would take out anything that could possibly implicate the president or his family.
But also the people who, they're saying that the reasons why the Mueller probe was kicked off was another piece that could be investigated further. He answered that question very loosely.
So we're going to get nothing out of this. Nothing out of this.
Well, we'll see. It's how many pages? 400 pages?
All right, checking in at
number four.
President Trump says that the administration has no plans to revive the controversial family separation policy amid speculation about whether the practice could return because there's been a big shakeup over at Homeland Security. But I think in what has now become, well, you're going to call this the classic Trump. He found a way, despite all of this, to blame Obama.
Obama separated the children, by the way. Just so you understand, President Obama separated the children. Those cages that were shown, I think they were very inappropriate. They were built by President Obama's administration, not by Trump. President Obama had child separation. Take a look. The press knows it. You know it. We all know it. I'm the one that stopped it. President Obama had child separation.
Okay, so there's a couple things there. Mm-hmm. He is correct that those images that we saw with the kids in the cages was from the Obama years. That is true. And that there was the separation of children from non-custodial adults that they were with. That is also true.
So if they were questioning whether or not there was a relationship between the adult and the child.
Right.
They would separate them.
And they wanted, there was a human trafficking piece or there was something else that was going on. What Donald Trump did through Kristen Nielsen and everybody, you know, the change in the rule for this year, for 6 weeks, was that if you came across with your kids, they were going to take you into custody and separate the kids from the adults, because the adults had to go into a separate adults-only facility. And this was going to be, as the Attorney General of the United States at the time, Jeff Sessions, said, this was going to discourage people from coming up. If you don't want to be separated from your children, don't come up here, is what he said. Because all the people on the migrant train are watching CNN or Fox News Channel. Somehow he thought that word was going to get out. And so what they did by having the zero tolerance policy, it was a new version of the separation for the purposes of trying to send a message through these caravans that, hey, if we're going to lose our kids if we go up there. That's what they were trying to do. The president even acknowledged that today in his speech. But he still wanted to say, hey, it was Obama's fault. He did it first, which is factual but not accurate to the current question, which is why are you doing it now? Because the intent was different under Obama than it was here. Right. The intent here was to scare people and to separate the kids so that it would, you know, be a bad deal. The intent under Obama was to separate children not from their parents, but from non-custodial adults. And what the president really is also pointing to here that he didn't want to go into, but he could have, because it would, I think, play well with his supporters, is that they were just, when people were coming across with families, they were trying to find another family to put them with in the United States. And then they would give them a court date, you know, for their asylum hearing. And that's that was a loophole that Trump doesn't like. Let's listen to a little bit more of the president here.
Now, I'll tell you something. Once you don't have it, that's why you see many more people coming. They're coming like it's a picnic, because let's go to Disneyland. President Obama separated children. They had child separation. I was the one that changed it. Okay, thank you very much. But it does make, it brings a lot more people to the border. When you don't do it, it brings a lot more people to the border. We are not looking to do it. But President Obama had the law. We changed the law. And I think the press should accurately report it, but of course they won't.
Doesn't he sound like a 14-year-old who just came home with
some excuses?
Can't really explain where he was. It's a lot of there's a lot of deflecting there. There's a little bit of accuracy, but then it's all sort of covered with a lot of other stuff. Really, it's, I mean, the whole thing is unfortunate. I mean, nobody wants this situation.
No. And there does need to be a solution.
But weaponizing fear that people are going to have their kids taken away from them when in a lot of these cases they're coming to try to protect their kids, get their kids away from that situation. And again, it's all horrifying. But here's another solution. Don't cut the aid for those countries down there. Try to actually, you heard Republicans over the weekend saying double the aid down there and just make sure and double the American NGO or even organizational presence to try to make sure that that money's going where it's supposed to be going, not just into some warlord's pocket.
Well, he's cutting the aid as a response to trying to, and I'm not saying it's the right way to do it, to try to get the Central American countries to do something about these migrants.
But what are they going to do? I mean, it's a war. These are literally warlords against warlords.
100,000 from Central America, asylum-seeking families detained in March alone.
We spoke earlier today with Congressman Kinzinger, who said that he and many other Republicans are still in favor of the United States being in the asylum laws being on the books here in the United States, but they must be properly, respect the laws and the rules that surround the laws to be, done in a way in which the law intended. And we'll just have to see if that actually ever transpires. It's a mess, no matter how you cut it.
It is.
But the president, it was the word salad, and Obama was the big word in the word cloud today. All right, let's check in now. Here is Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe, an Illinois congressman pressing the IRS commissioner on the president's tax returns.
Top 5 of 5 continues. We've worked our way up to
number 3.
Jimmy Fallon is talking about presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, trying to set themselves apart.
But all the candidates are trying to stand out. Now Bernie Sanders is saying that he wants to make it legal for felons to be able to vote while they're in prison. It's an interesting idea, but you do not want to know how he plans on getting the ballots inside the jail. That means pretty disturbing. Elizabeth Warren is also in the news. A new poll found that she's currently in third place in her own home state of Massachusetts. But keep in mind, second place is a Dunkin' Donuts cashier, and first place is Gronk. Massachusetts!
Gronk's got nothing else going on.
He retired, right?
Right. Didn't he, Kevin?
Gronkowski? Yes.
Yeah, he retired, and he's, I believe he's
barely 30?
A DJ or something, right?
Isn't pretty that what much. He's gonna do? Just goes to events and parties and promotional type partier. Thing.
Right. And then I get my
That's
shirt.
A job now.
Then I get my shirt dirty, and I wash it with Tide. Yeah, I'm Gronk.
He smashes a football on the ground.
He really is. He's Hodor, is what he is.
Remarkable player.
Number 2.
Well, Hodor was remarkable, too, because he would hold the door. Oh, wait, spoiler alert. Budweiser has unveiled a tribute film to Dwayne Wade.
Oh.
Dwayne Wade is retiring this year.
Oh, man.
It's a film called This Bud's for Three. It takes a look at Dwayne Wade's season-long jersey swap ritual, right, when he's leaving, every team that he goes to.
Yeah.
They do that as these guys are going, and then they frame them all with their money while they're still working, and then they sell them off 5 years later when their money is all gone. Here, but I don't think in Dwayne Wade's case. He seems like he's got it all worked out. Yes. Here's his mom, Jolinda, talking about what it was like to be among the fans.
Hey, Dwayne.
How you doing, Mom?
You were the joy of my life. But I was dropping the ball. That day that I just couldn't do it no more was the day that I was going to have to turn myself in. And I seen the tears just fall from your eyes. Your mama went down a road, Dwayne, that I didn't ever think I'd come back from. But on that road, I noticed you kept showing up. And you'll come and see about me. And Dwayne, because you believe in me, when I got out of prison, I was a different woman.
Man.
Wow.
Is it dusty in here?
I have goosebumps.
I'm like crying. That is so powerful. It's a Budweiser ad. Wow.
Yeah. It's a film. It's a Budweiser film.
Oh, it's really remarkable.
It is pretty well done. They have there was a Stoneman Douglas sister of one of the victims, the shooting. She mm-hmm. came because he had, she had gotten in touch with him when that happened. So she's involved with it, a bunch of other people as well.
Pretty special.
It's pretty well done, yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, I mean, he was a bull for a short period of time, mm-hmm. but never in his prime. But he, obviously one of the great elites
oh, yeah.
of the last 15 years in the NBA. But he always gave back to Chicago. He lived here.
Yeah. He's got such a social conscience. He's yeah. always helping out people. And there's so many stories of him just reaching out, both in part of organized programs to do so, but also just when he sees someone in need.
And finally,
number one.
Can't they rent a car for the pilots and have them drive? Oh my god! No! No! This is wrong! Oh my god! Look at what you did to him!
Who can forget that incident on a United Airlines flight?
Poor Dr. Dow.
Dr. Dow being dragged off the United Airlines flight in 2017. And he actually just spoke to, now this is 2 years later, right?
Is it that long?
Yes. He spoke to Good Morning America about what it was like for him then and what it's like for him now.
How did you handle all of that attention?
Get the point, I have to hide him.
Could you go to work? Could you leave the house?
No. I stay for months in the house. Well, the most important thing is the accident turned out the positive way. Airline business willing to change policy.
So he's willing to forgive everybody involved and said that the aviation police had a job to do. He's not angry. Forgiveness.
Do you think the aviation cops that did that remember doing it? Wait, we did what? Oh, yeah, I remember that one. I remember that.
Remember that time.
Which one? Anyway, that was, there you go.
Yeah, he says he didn't, he barely remembers it because it's so traumatic, but that he went back and watched the video sometime later and just cried. I mean, he had surgery, his nose was broken, teeth were broken out, he had a mild concussion, all kinds of, you remember how serious that was?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Happy Dr. Dow's doing okay.
Should have gotten up off the seat. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at WGN Radio.
The Top 5 at 5.
I don't want you to wait in suspense any longer.
No, you wouldn't want to do that.
Caller number 15 right now, 312-981-7200, wins a family four-pack of tickets to an upcoming White Sox game. Keep listening all season long for your chance to win a family four-pack to the White Sox.
Nice.
They'll give you some dates. You choose what works for you and your family. Doesn't lock you in. It's kind of nice. All right. That's very. This is a very important thing. The chief medical officer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. That's really not his best title, though.
No, he's got a more important title.
Yeah, he's the chief medical officer and senior vice president of Northwestern Medicine. That's a better title.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, because this is an unpaid position. I'm assuming they pay him for that other position. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jim Adams, who was here with us before, is joining us again. And now, doctor, there's a story that is getting all kinds of national attention about this fungal infection that is that's affecting major cities right now. Chicago has a couple hundred cases, I think, of this that have been identified. And then other major cities, New York, I think, has had some as well. And the media, I hate to use the media in that big term sense because I don't believe in that sort of thing, but certainly there's a lot of media attention on this, and it seems to me to be a little bit misdirected. So can you explain what this is and how dangerous is this really?
Well, there's no cause for panic, but the fact is,
that a strain of fungus has been identified in typically nursing home patients, very sick nursing home patients, and I think in Illinois 154 cases. But it's difficult to treat. The typical antifungals don't seem to be working easily. Some of the patients are dying from this fungal infection, but we're not seeing it affect normal people. There's really no reason to panic. But we always, always are on guard about tough organisms, and this is a tough organism.
The New York Times article I read about the Mount Sinai case showed a man who had it and ultimately died of it after 90 days of trying to get him treated. But the other piece of it was that the fungus lived on beyond his death. It was not only in the mattress and in the curtains. They found it on virtually everything, the walls. They had to take out ceiling tiles. It doesn't seem to, not only, it also has this drug-resistant quality, but also hard to kind of get rid of it.
Right. The people who clean hospital rooms are specially trained people. And if you're in the hospital, value the nurses, but value the people who clean the rooms because it's a super important job. But there's also high-intensity disinfecting mechanisms that are needed for organisms like this. And hospitals are well aware of it and take a lot of precautions around it.
And I think a lot of people don't fail to understand that germs, you know, they live on skin surfaces. You're around them a lot. And, you know, there's a difference, obviously, between fungal and bacterial and all that. But, you know, you can't see them. You just know that they're there. And proper sanitation really becomes your best defense, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And this is not something that we're seeing infect normal, healthy people, but it's something we don't want to have normal, healthy people in contact with anyway. And absolutely, the good hygiene, washing your hands, good disinfection practices, always important for all kind of protection yourself.
But they say this is new. Now, is it new?
Well, there's always the evolution of resistant organisms. Resistant organisms are always evolving, and this is one that does have some new quality to it, but it's something that we have recognized and are getting on top of. So we're constantly on the search for evolving organisms.
So fungus or bacteria, things that like this, that we're constantly trying to fight, whether it's with drugs or even in the farming system with crop chemicals that you try to keep things from growing on that are going to destroy crops. These organisms mutate around the use of those, particularly whether it's antibiotics for medical treatment or antifungals that are used by crop dusters. Those kinds of things nature's going to win out, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, so my friends and family are always unhappy with me because I never give them antibiotics, and they're going to get better. And what I don't want to do is give antibiotics, have all the weaker bacteria or killed, and then the hardier ones, the more resistant ones, survive. So, you know, I don't use as much antibiotics as other people because I don't want to allow the stronger ones to be selected out. So that's true bacteria or fungus, and to the degree that antifungals or antibacterial treatments are given to in agriculture, that can select for more resistant organisms. So we do have to be careful whether it's in humans or animals.
I'm taking your number right out of my phone now because he just said that.
He won't give it to you. Yeah. You're going to ask for it, and he won't give it to you. Are doctors having some success in treating it in immunosuppressed people? And it seems like there are a lot of the people who are getting, people who already have other conditions are the ones who are getting this fungus in high numbers.
Yeah, so they are treated with antifungals, and then also just good overall medical treatment to strengthen the immune system so that can fight it. The immune system is an amazing thing. It's the best defense. So keeping yourself healthy, sleeping well, keeping your immune system strong is always the best way to be fighting the fungus or the bacteria. But yeah, there's some success with it, but it's something we don't want to take for granted. We don't want to have spread. We do want to keep monitored and on top of.
All right. And also, how's the flu season going? Are we almost done
now? Last we talked to you, not so well.
Well, yeah. So, you know, we're still seeing flu, but it's on the decline. We probably have a few more weeks, but it's definitely on the downward side. But it's a late season, but it's still not completely gone.
Wow. And it's also allergy season's kicking in now, too. And people starting to feel sick, but they're really, it's an allergic reaction as opposed to viral or bacterial.
Right. And that is something that there are good over-the-counter medicines for that do help the symptoms.
What do you like? What do you like best over the counter for that? You got anything that you do? You recommend one over another, or a type another?
Honestly, I think the people first Benadryl is sedating, but it's fine for bedtime, so it helps people sleep too. But the ones that are not sedating over the counter, they're all very good. Some people find one personally better than another, and I would have the people just try what's best for them.
Okay, so you kind of shop it around until you find the one that really locks together. Because some of these don't work for me at all. I'll tell you what really, you know what works for me nicely? Flonase. That's the one, yeah. That's, you know, it's just sort of as a you know, like if you get like hay fever kind of allergy symptoms.
I hate using that though.
Yeah.
It's kind of,
I know, because it goes up your nose.
Yeah.
But you know, once you get used to it, it's okay. And it's not habit forming like some of the other ones are, right?
People are also asking about symptoms, doctor, on the fungus. How do you know you have it?
Do not even worry. You will know if you have it. It is nobody listening to this is really susceptible to this highly resistant fungus. It is not something for a normal person to worry about.
Okay,
we'll take it off the panic list.
Right, exactly. And that is my mother texting in. And I have to constantly explain to my mother, if you think you're sick, you're not sick. You're sick when you know you're sick. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty good rule of thumb. Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's absolutely. And when the doctors and nurses go home, what we do is tend to wash our clothes in hot water, normal laundry, and then we take showers and just soap and water. We don't do anything fancy. Soap and water, hot laundry, it's great. It'll keep you healthy.
So every night do you go and wash everything in hot water?
I put it in the laundry, but I do laundry pretty frequently, especially if I'm in the emergency department around a lot of these very sick patients.
Oh,
yeah,
so
I don't want to track anything home.
Right, so you're not going to wear a shirt twice.
No, and what happens is a lot of our doctors will wear scrubs and they'll be laundered, mm-hmm. but I really do think that frequent clothing changes, because we don't want to transmit it to family, ourselves, or coworkers, but for the general population, they're at even much lower risk.
Your tie is a hot zone, though, isn't it? I mean, they always say, like, the doctor's tie is the scariest part if you don't, because you got to, do you wear a tie? Do you have to clean your tie?
But my tie does not, I'm telling you, my tie does not get close to anything funky, but I am surprised that there's physicians who accumulate stuff on ties. But I'm a fan, frankly, while I wear a tie, I'm a fan of doctors who are with their hands in things that don't wear ties. I think scrubs are the way to go, and have them laundered.
Yeah, and I'm going to just tell you this right now. I'm sending you saran wrap for your tie. All right, doctor, thank you very much. Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Medicine, and also Chief Medical Officer of the Roe Contra with Anna DeVantis, unpaid position. Thank you, doctor.
Thanks, Dr. Jim.
Right. Bye-bye.
There he goes. That's, if I were a doctor, I'd wrap everything, that whole thing in saran wrap.
Do you go to your doctor's appointments with saran wrap?
Yeah.
You sort of wrap the doctor?
I wrap myself in saran wrap.
Oh.
And it's a weird deal. I mean, because it's, I triple wrap down there, if you know what I mean, too.
Right.
You know, so it's just not going to be the same thing. I don't need that. I don't need it. I don't want to get sick from this. It's really funny because I have already, of course, my mother has already called me about this, about the Candida aureus, which is a fungus, which Candida aureus was the name of the Police's third album, right? So it's like everybody knows it. I do not understand when people get all freaked out, and we're doing it. I mean, the thing is that especially on the click-through media,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, you go on your phone, you're reading, you know, the news.
Oh, it was everywhere. The story just popped.
Because they want you to click. Mm-hmm. This will kill you immediately. It will kill you if you're 110. And you're already dying in a nursing home and you're not conscious. These are the kinds of really terminally ill patients, an end of life kind
Very
of a
sad.
Thing with this, where it's happening.
Yeah.
But if it were not this, it might be something else. It's you know, is similar benign with people who are healthy.
Just yeah.
Something to think about.
I think there was when we had such a concentration of cases here in Illinois, then that's when it just started to really pop all the stories. There are cases in New York, as you pointed out. There's a 154 confirmed cases here.
Right.
In Illinois. Right. So they are on the lookout for it.
Stop freaking out, people.
Stop.
And I'm saying that specifically to my mother. All right, let's check in now. Kim, what's happening at the bottom of the hour?
Roa Hospital in the western suburbs will stay open for now.
Home crowd at the UC? Check. Eastern, I can't even get through this because I can already hear you and Kevin after I say it. Eastern Conference rival, check. A chance to knock the Knicks down a peg. Knicks down a peg. You
no,
bet.
No, no.
Bulls, Knicks. Tonight at 7 on WGN-TV. There, I got through it.
All right, people. Here's what I got to do. If I were the coach of the Chicago Bulls, whose name is being withheld pending anybody knowing what it is, I would just say, listen, guys, this is our last chance, last time we're going to be at the United Center in front of this audience, in front of this crowd for this season. Most of you won't be here next year. Many of you, I haven't even learned your names because, quite honestly,
why bother?
What's the point? I want you to get out there, and I want you to show this crowd something tonight. By losing in the most dramatic way you could possibly lose, I would like us to not score a single point tonight. Do you understand that, man? Not a single point. First guy to get a basket, immediately I'm pulling him from the game.
It's almost too little too late at this point because they're locked into the fourth best odds in the draft lottery with just two games remaining.
They're locked into that. They can't move up or move down.
So there's a draft lottery, meaning they've got a shot to landing the top pick all the way down to, you know, fifth or sixth.
Right.
But they have the fourth best odds because they have the fourth worst record in the NBA.
Does it help them to lose tonight?
Not really, because they're locked into that fourth spot.
I mean, check.
So you could just go full rah-rah and give them a show tonight, boys. Get out there and give it your all.
Here's the show I want you to give. I want this to be a game where the Bulls have lost 110-0. I want to set a record, and I think you're the team to do it. You, tall European guy, don't know your name.
Tall European guy.
I know you're exhausted. Don't play.
Take a breather, man.
You, I don't even know your name either.
You an intern?
But you seem to run around real fast. I think you're a guard. I'm not even sure. I need you. To again, don't even take a shot. Once you get the ball, wait for the 24-second clock to expire and then hand the ball to the ref.
This is a hell of a plug for WGN-TV, that's for sure.
I know, really.
It is.
Really,
you know,
help. You're not helping.
No, I am, because people want to watch and see that.
Right. It's sort of like a train wreck. Can't look away.
That's why I can't even get through that promo read, because I know you just will crap all over it.
And the Knicks already suck, right? I mean, the Knicks are the best position right
now,
right?
Yeah. Well, the bottom three, they changed it a little bit. The bottom three teams now all have the same odds to land the top pick.
So we're the fourth one up.
Yes.
Because we're idiots.
I'm not a fan of the lottery at all. I don't know how you feel about it.
Oh, it's helped, though. I think the Bulls, right? I mean, the Bulls in the lottery era.
Well, Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose.
Wow, because they had 1% chance to land him, and they got him.
Yeah. His agent is saying he'd be open to returning to the Bulls.
And oh,
he'll
good.
Get injured on the first, you know,
put that out
five
there.
Minutes. Does he, the first 5 minutes of the game.
Does he even know where Chicago is?
No doubt it's in his heart. Chicago will always be there.
Maybe yeah. A quote. Farewell tour for Derrick.
All right.
He had a good run.
No, he didn't, really. He really did not. He did not have a good run.
He did for a few years there, and then it all came crashing down.
He did not really. Okay, yes.
I mean, he won MVP, youngest MVP in
the history. Yes, right, and his rookie year, right? Or no, second year.
Second year. 21.
Yeah. Yes. That was still not a good run. It was a good moment.
That's not a run.
He couldn't run because his ankles and knees would like snap in half. He was like that gymnast.
Wasn't his face in like some kind of a cranial special thing?
Yeah. He had that for a while.
God, if he never blew out his ACL.
Where's Dr. Jim Adams on this one? He would be the one guy in the NBA to get the fungal infection.
I heard the new Operation Game is actually a picture of Derrick Rose and all the little body parts that he's broken.
By the way, watch the Bulls tonight on Channel 9. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Did you get your 56 cent piece of chocolate cake from Portillo's today?
I did not.
56th birthday for Portillo's.
I know. And it's such a great tradition that they do that, because that chocolate cake is the best. It's the best thing ever invented by anybody ever.
Mm-hmm.
I know people like to brag about the wheel, but I'm telling you, this cake was better than the wheel.
It's so delicious.
Polio vaccine. I know a lot of people think that was a big invention.
No. Doesn't come close.
The chocolate cake at Portillo's, better. Airplane, I know. Wright Brothers, Schmidt Brothers. How about the Portillo brothers, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How about them?
They had something there.
Yeah.
I think it was their Ma's recipe.
Yeah, how about that? You know, it's a sour cream in the
can. Is that
the,
a, yeah, I thought it was a mayo.
Cream. Yeah, something like that. Something. It's one of those things. It's white.
You don't always
I don't
know.
It's something that they put in there. It's white, and yet it's chocolate, and I don't understand how it goes.
But it makes it very moist and yummy.
Yeah, it's the best. Portillo's. You know, a lot of people, I got to just be honest with you, you're getting the beef wars around here.
Oh, I'm so happy you're about to say this.
Because, you know, there's people that are, you know, get very, there's Mr. Beef.
I got Johnny's.
Al's.
There's Al's. You know, you get all that. Honest to God, I think Portillo's is the best.
I'm with you. I've been saying it for years. I get in serious battles with people over this.
Yeah. Portillo's is pretty much the best in anything.
They kind of are. They got good fries, burgers, too.
Hot dogs.
Yep.
Chili cheese dog.
I go beef, hot dog, cheese fries. That's my order every time.
Yeah. I like the beef, pop, one of the peppers, hot and sweet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wet.
Yep.
What's
or
wet?
Dipped, as they like to say.
Oh.
At Johnny's, they call it wet. But at Portillo's, they go, and I say wet, and they go, do you mean dipped? Yes, I mean dipped. They get everybody's got their own thing going.
They do.
Man, now I want Portillo's.
I know, now you're hungry.
I know. Maybe I'll pick up a little Portillo's on the way home.
Get a chocolate cake while you're doing it. 56 cents.
And it is the finest.
And what a success story, too. It's sold for like $1 billion. You know, this chain created right here.
Although you go to, there's Portillo's in other towns now.
Yeah, there's one in Arizona. I was covering spring training for a week, and I'm like, I want Portillo's. There's one like 5 minutes from the
right.
Cubs Park.
There's one in Phoenix, and you go there, and there's people wandering around. There's a lot of older people in Phoenix. I don't know if you've noticed this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people who like make an outing to go there, and then they wander around outside before they go in because they get nervous. They're not sure what's going to happen in there.
But it's just as packed as all the ones in the Chicago area. I walked in, I felt like I was in one of the original Portillo's in Chicago.
Well, Chicago is... Phoenix is like Chicago Southwest.
It right? totally is. There's so many of the restaurants that we have here.
But that's a... Yeah, but the Portillo's is just... I'm sorry. I know people want to fight me about this, and, you know, I'm going to hear from the Johnny's people. Which, you know, you don't even hear from the Johnny's people. You just get punched right in the face.
Just walking out to your car and you trip.
Exactly. Don't tell nobody that happened to you. Actually, it's don't tell nobody that happened to yous.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Yeah. So it's a lovely war to have. There's Bona Beef. They're excellent.
Oh, there's so many. Yeah, I like the one. There's some over still in the West Loop and on Grand Avenue there. There are a few sandwich shops over there.
Right. They
haven't changed a thing.
They're just a single shop.
Yeah.
You know,
single shop. Never became franchises or never became, you know, chains or anything like that. That they just do what they do, and they've done it well for generations. You see generations of family showing up there.
Right.
So cool.
There's places on Grand Avenue where they don't even have a door.
They're like, "What now? What is this building?"
Like a door. Looks
what
like
is
it's
going on
totally
here?
Closed. And then and then there's like a little. It's got that like diamond window at the top of the door. There's no signage.
Uh huh. Sometimes glass block, so you can see that there's a light on, but you absolutely cannot see a thing inside.
You have to ask, like, someone has to take you there, and then you know about it forever.
Yeah. And sometimes, like at weird times of the day, like Sunday morning at 6 a.m., you'll see four black SUVs pull up. And then people wearing inappropriate dress will come in and out. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. They don't speak any English either. I'd like to point that out. Those people. There's a lot of Russian being spoken as they're being transported. But somehow they like the Italian beef, which is good.
They're great restaurants to choose from right there. You don't have to go very far.
Sausage beef combination is nice.
Oh, love it.
That's something right there. That's where you have really you can only have that once like a year, I think.
Because it takes a year to digest the thing.
Yeah. It's sort of like it's so great going down, and then you're like, what did I just do?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I do that to myself? Oh my God, I think I'm going to die.
It's so damn good, though.
The most efficient drive-thru in the history of drive-thrus was that Portillo's right across from the Walgreens by the Rock and Roll McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, the one in Ontario.
It would be like three across.
Well, that's what I do, because on the way to the Kennedy, I'm like, I'll pull in real quick. And you see the line, and you're like, this is going to take forever.
And it doesn't.
And you get your food in like a minute. It's nothing, no problem.
And all kinds of weather, they come out, and they get your order, and it just...
They got the crinkle fries?
Yes.
Yeah. They're out there. There's people out there, and you're like they look like that movie The Martian. They're in some kind of a thing.
Special gear.
Yeah, and they're standing out there and they got the little pad going.
Mm-hmm. Right. I have no idea how the system works. It's like, how are they keeping track of all these orders? The next thing you know, you got your food, you're out of there and running away home.
It's like, how would they keep track? Because you're not just one after another. You're in multiple lanes.
No parking lot for that Portillo's.
No.
And yet the place is always jammed inside, too. And if you go inside, you see that there's like 500 people working in there.
Right.
It's a nice...
Man, I was sold on Taco Tuesday. I may have to call an audible here.
Yeah.
Things change. You got to adapt, you know? Call an audible at the line of scrimmage. Right now, Omaha!
There's guys driving west on Roosevelt Road right now. They're going by the Portillo's, and they're doing U-turns on First Avenue. I got it. Good turnaround. I passed it about a mile ago. I got to get back.
You do crave it. That's true.
Listener texting in from Phoenix. Thanks. Heading to Portillo's now.
See, that's what goes on. You did it.
You hear Portillo's, it's in your head. Your mouth starts watering. You need it.
Okay. Now again, I gotta point out the best way to imbibe in this. And I know that. Now I don't know. What do you do?
I do the salad and with the hot peppers. I love the hot peppers.
Yes.
And then I just get the fries.
I like the fries and the sides.
Their fries are amazing.
Always cheese fries.
Gotta get the cheese fries.
Are so yeah. Good. And then the chocolate cake. You got to do that.
I'm having chest pain right now thinking about this. I'm having preemptive chest pain.
They're in 7 states. Nearly 60 restaurants. Isn't that crazy?
I know. Well, you know, these guys bought them, right? Mm-hmm. From Frank
equity.
and the rest of the investors Founder. There. And you know, there was this fear, I think, that a lot of us had. I mean, I don't care what happens in the other states, but there's this fear mm-hmm. that it's going to screw up the ones here.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
when I
get
saw
that fear.
Story, I go, mother of God. Please,
right.
No.
And then, right. And then Frank was on the TV show, and I think we all saw him on the radio show when he sold it. And it was like a big, and Frank was very tan. Frank Portillo was incredibly tan.
Enjoying
what he was
his life.
Doing, and it was like, oh, see, he's tan. He's not like he's not driving around in a Ford Bronco, you know, from store to store to store. You know, like what's going on here? What's going on? And I like that idea. I like the story I like to tell myself is that you know Frank was driving it. 24 hours a day, going from store to store to make sure that the chocolate cake was right and that the beef was right. That was my whole, that's what I told myself about this. It was all tan. I got all worried. And it didn't change.
Mm-mm.
I worried for nothing. I borrowed trouble from tomorrow when I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't need to because it didn't change. The quality, consistency, it's all still there.
That I think that's the key for them, too. As they did real nice with the, that's how you have to say it, too, when you're talking about beef. They did real nice with the quality control. It's ingredients, very important.
Doing nice beef.
They're doing real nice.
I didn't know we were doing a whole segment on Portillo's today, but this is fun.
Oh my gosh, I'm so hungry now.
See what we did right there? And the hot dog is the best, too. Uh-huh. It's really true. I mean,
I always do chili cheese dog.
Yeah. See, it's
ooh,
very
chili
good.
Chili cheese dog. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Their burger is underrated, too. Don't
you know
sleep on the burger.
So you know what's a good sneak, though? Don't sleep on the burger. Yeah, the burger is very good. Right. That's very true. The other, another sneak, non-Portillo's, is a very special experience for Chicagoans on the near Northwest side.
Mm-hmm.
Is to go to the Vienna Beef Factory at Elston and Fullerton.
To see how the sausage is made?
And there is actually a lunchroom in there.
Mm.
And you go eat there. And it changes your life. If you like the Vienna beef, you like the hot dogs and stuff. They had also the Vienna, their Italian beef. which I don't. That's in a lot of restaurants that is saying it's their Italian beef, but it's really their Italian beef. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Don't ask no questions. And no one gets hurt. Let's find out from Andrea Darlis, who's coming up at the top of the hour.
Well, Ro, Timothy Pitson's father is speaking out. We'll have that story and much, much more coming up at 7 o'clock.
Lauren, please tell us that the roads are clear so we can go eat something.